and I'm all out of bubble. If you want to be a wise guy, you can do it anywhere. If you want to be a strong man, you can do it anywhere. If you want to be an Indian chief, cowboy, you can do it in the ring. You can't do it in the mall.
Wrestling Radio. I'm the internet icon, handsome Jackie Jones, flying solo tonight. But I do have a special guest with me. Just a legend in the world of professional wrestling. She's had many titles. She's in tag team singles, wrestled the very first WrestleMania and again at WrestleMania 10. And she is still in the business currently, and we'll talk all about that. I'm joined by Leilani Kai. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing great, thanks.
Good. And, I mentioned you're still in the business, very active. You had a very active year.
I had a very active year last year. I'm hoping to be even better this year. I got a lot of projects coming up, and I'm just real excited about it. Last year was my most exciting year in a long time. And I want to do a lot of looking around different schools, and I go to different events, just mainly, I guess, just to look at the girls, and I'm really interested in women wrestling, and maybe somehow I can start teaching, and I've been to some seminars and around the United States, and I've worked probably 8 or 9 times last year, and hopefully this year will be a lot more. I got some things coming up, but it's not for sure yet, so we'll see.
Who are some of the people that you got to wrestle this year that you had never wrestled before? You know, some of the younger women that really stood out to you.
I did a lot for Lexi with she ran like in South Florida, and I have wrestled against Sarah Del Rey. I love her.
Mm-hmm.
Rain, Awesome Kong. And they're all great athletes, and they all have their own style, so I like to learn as much as I can from them. There's Angelina Love, Santana Garrett, Amber O'Neill, and Amber O'Neill's one of the lady wrestlers I did help train. And I was just doing some seminars. I did some seminars. I did a seminar in Rome, Georgia, and Charlotte, along with Tully and Jerry Briscoe. And I've had a real exciting year, and I'm hoping this year will just bring along the same thing. You know, I'm just real excited about it. I'm training as hard as I can, and staying on the internet as much as I can. You know, keeping up with the wrestling and base them on my Facebook and talk about them and try to push them the best I can. And I'm really wanting to do some trainings if I can soon.
Yeah.
If it comes up.
Now, we've had both Awesome Kong and Sarah Del Rey on the show before, and Sarah Del Rey, actually, the record, she's been on the show the most for a female wrestler, and she's currently training for WWE. She's one in the developmental company. Did she really stand out to you?
Yes, she did. Mainly because everyone kept telling me at first, you know, you need to see her. She looks so much like you. in my young days, you know, and I had this fear, and I started watching her, and I got to have a match with her, and oh my God, I was so excited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, wow, you know, I saw her. She's a great athlete. I really, really enjoyed having a match with her. She's good.
Yeah.
And I wish her a lot of luck in her training. I know she's going to do good because she's young, you know, and I'm sure she'll pave the way for some of the ladies that's getting into the wrestling today, and she'll help them belong. So I'm happy for her. I'm glad.
Yeah,
I want that for her. She deserves it, and that's what her calling is, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I really want to see her wrestle some more, too, you know, I hope in the near future.
Yeah. Do you see wrestling right now, women's wrestling right now, compared to when you broke in? You know, there was a lot of people back then, too, but what are the differences?
There's more TV exposure. There's not as much women in the ring as I used to. Back in, like, in the 70s and 80s, we had to, you know, travel so hard, and it's like territorial back then. And now it's just, it's not much going on, you know, for women or men to have, unless they're in one little spot. But it's just, TV is just taking over, and the wrestling is a little bit different, and I had to really travel hard, and I worked with the same, you know, girls all the time, because I came from Lewis, and we were like a family there, so we traveled, like, from one territory to another territory, and now you just, like, fly and work for one company, and you just fly each place, and it's a little bit different how it's done today, and the training is not like with different girls. It's with maybe a school with one of the guys maybe to train the girls, or it's all a little bit different. Before we traveled with each other and went different places, and we worked with each other a lot, so it's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
But I watch it a lot, and I see a lot of women that are just like doing their best, and it's not quite the same what I did, but you know, it comes along and it's exciting, and there's some beautiful ladies out there.
Mm-hmm. I just want to ask you about, you know, you talked about Moolah, and obviously one of the most famous matches of all time, WrestleMania, the first one. What was like just the build up for that match like for you? You know, it's stuff's on MTV. It's like things are starting to blow up. Could you see, you know, how big this was going to be?
I didn't really realize it at first. I did a match with Wendy, and I retained the belt. So afterwards, I'd actually gone to Japan, and I didn't get back till probably 2 days before the actual event of WrestleMania. And I didn't realize how big it was until I got there. Once I was in the arena, it was so much excitement going on, people running around everywhere and seeing celebrities and all. I didn't realize how big it was. Not at that moment, I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But afterwards, I realized it afterwards, and they had a big, huge party, and everybody was there and having a good time and dancing. And it was a little bit different, but I didn't realize really how big it was until I was there.
Yeah,
I didn't hear much talk about it. I was overseas. I stayed overseas, you know. I'd done the belt with Wendy, and I worked with her a bit, and then went overseas. So I didn't really realize how big it was going to be, but it was the most exciting night of my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun when I did WrestleMania 10. So
yeah,
I was very lucky. I was very lucky I was chosen.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did the WrestleMania 10 come about? Like, you know, how were you picked to be Lunder Blaze's opponent?
How was I picked for her opponent?
Yeah. You know, because you weren't there for the while, and they brought you back for WrestleMania 10.
Yes, I kind of stopped traveling on the road, and they had called me and asked me if I would do it. I believe it has a lot to do with I know how to work with girls. I know production. I know how to present myself in the ring, and I know television, so I think they really wanted to get Alondra over as strong as they could, and I'd already had some matches with her, and I enjoyed working with her, so I think they just thought that was a perfect match for her. And it was a lot of fun. It was not real easy, but it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have no problem. I don't know why they picked me, but I suppose because I've had matches with her before and I was experienced, you know, with TV production. So
mm-hmm.
I think that's what it was.
You talked a little bit about going overseas. What's the difference between wrestling in Japan and wrestling in the States?
Japan is, they travel a lot. They stay on the bus. You work along with them. If you want to, they take their own ring and put it up, and they take their own ring down. They're like a big family. They work almost every single night. Their TV is very serious. They're very serious over there. And I get a lot of training over there, a lot. I stayed over there for weeks. I think my travels was between like 48 or 49 times, and I'd go back and forth like every other month and bring someone else new with me and a new girl with me over there, and I really loved it there. I was sitting myself when I first went over there, so I'm going to make them like me. I'm going to work so hard to where they want me to come back. So it was just my calling. I loved it there, and I learned their style, and I got along with everybody. I started learning the language a little bit, and but I really loved it, and I traveled all over Japan. Sometimes we fly, like, to Hawaii, or I think we went to Guam a couple of times. We went to Korea one time, and I would stay, like, 2 months at a time every time we went over there. And they really wanted women's wrestling from over there to come over here, and that's when we brought the Bomb Angels over, hoping that we can mix it to where women can go to Japan and they'd come over here and kind of mixed up a little bit. So mm-hmm. we brought the Bomb Angels over, and that was another story.
Honestly, I think those matches still hold up as some of the best women's matches ever, especially in WWF or anywhere.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. They were easy to work with. We worked hard. We worked a different kind of style, and I think it was a little bit of a fast pace, but that's the way we did it over there, and time changes. You have to change with the times, you know. And that was probably my best fun time was with the Bomb Angels, and I think they came over twice up here, and we went back over there and did our little angle, and I don't know how it kind of split up, but it just kind of did, you know. Everything goes in phases, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I also want to mention, too, as your protege you brought up, Tatavik, the...
Tatavik.
Was it?
Tatavik.
Tatavik, yes. Tatavik the Gamer. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. That's all right. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people have trouble speaking her name, but it's called Tatavik.
Very pretty, and she's an excellent wrestler, and you can check out about her over at facebook.com/wowtatavik, and we'll have the link right on the website, so you can just click on it. It'll take you right there. And, you know, I've seen on Facebook a lot of people were talking about her match with Jungle Girl, and do you think we'll see more of those two together?
Oh, I hope so, because I went to that they had... It was a very exciting match because at one time everybody was wondering if Wendy Richter and I would be back in the ring and have a rematch. But
mm-hmm.
Since then, when them two had their match, it was just the same type deal. You know, everyone's asking for a rematch of Jungle Girl and Tatavik. And they're both great athletes, and they work and train so hard. And I'm real excited because the next time they do have a match, I'm hoping soon. You know, I think it's being talked about. I hope soon I'm going to be there because I support them, and especially Tatavik, my protege, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked with her for like a year and 2 months. She's traveled some. She's done a few radio appearances, and she tries to do the best she can. She's a great athlete. She's in Yukodokan kickboxer and Argentino tango dancer, a stunt choreographer, and a picture fighter. And she's a legit wrestler, and that's what I like. She trains day and night as hard as she can, and she makes me work out too. So, but she comes and visits sometimes, and we get in the gym and work out, and I try to get her around to different places, you know, to get some practice, and she never complains. And she's a hard worker, and I I know she's going to be a big mark in the wrestling world, and I'm excited about it. She's a very good girl.
Does that make you proud? You know, someone you helped get in the business, someone you trained, you've been with for a year, and you see him in the ring and having matches that people are talking about?
Yes, it does. I've had several that I've trained in the business, but she's been like the most exciting so far. I trained a young lady a few years ago, Amber O'Neill, and she was, I lost touch with her after a while, but she's been on her own, but Todd Vick and I have been on the road together, and I'm hoping that it'll come off good for her, because that's all she talks about and worries about is wrestling, and I want to do the best to see that she gets to the highest point that she can. Any woman that's wanting to learn as much as they can, I have no problem helping, not at all. A lot of these women today, like, they'll get on my Facebook and ask me, will you please watch my match and let me know what I could have done better. So that makes me feel good. They trust me and they're letting them know and tell them what could be better in their match. I have a lot of them do that. And I really want to, like, teach soon and have a place where I can teach women's wrestling and guys too, you know, if it's possible. But that's what I'm aiming for now, is teaching. And I'm a technical style wrestler, and I'm excited about it. I don't know, but I got a really exciting year coming up this year.
Mm-hmm. Now, as we mentioned, we'll have Todovic on the show coming up in February after you get back from Atlanta. So that'll be very interesting for everybody. You can find out what she's been doing and what it was like training with you and her plans for the future.
Yes, I'm excited about it too. I'm hoping that, but I know she got some. She has some dates coming up. I don't know exactly. Her booker, Steve Stasiak, they travel quite a bit around, I got several dates coming up. One in New Jersey on 28th for Pro Wrestling Syndicate. And, September 28th is when I had a match with Cindy Siaki. That was like probably my first actual active match in the ring. And I had a really great match with her. And she was trained by a lady wrestler in Japan that's very well known as a. She was one of the girls in our group that was in Japan when I was back in the 80s. So she was very fun to work with. And I think it'll be coming up for Gary Dameron on ASW in Madison, West Virginia, April 12th.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that Todd can be on that one, too. So
yeah, friends with Gary. I know him through the Fan Fest, NWA Legends Fan Fest. So he's a very nice guy and a great wrestling promoter.
Yeah, he is. I'm excited about having to be on his event. And I've been working lately, but now I've just started working out, and I'm wanting to do some events now, and I'm excited about my year coming up.
Yeah.
Trying to grab anything I can grab. I'm ready to get in the ring and just, you know, face it. Some like to referee some matches, too, so just so I can referee girls' matches, you know, just to help them out in the
I was at the Fan Fest this year in Charlotte, and I remember during the seminar, one of the girls had her head split open, and they had to rush her into the bathroom. Were you there for that when that happened?
Yes, I was there in the room. That was actually part of it. She was the only one training with about 12 big guys, and she went out of the ring. When she came up, her head had been split open. But she didn't complain about it or anything like that. She took it as a real trooper, and they had to sew her head up, but she didn't complain or nothing. It did happen. Things like that do happen. The sport is very, very, very rough. You know, it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
But it was actually thought of it could happen, too.
Okay.
She was the only woman there that trained on that seminar.
Mm-hmm. So we have a few questions here from the fans. Well, I'm going to save some of them because I would like to have you back on sometime and we can talk to you for a longer period of time. But here's one I did want to ask. It was from a change man from Ireland, and he wanted to know, why did they change your name in WCW to Patty Stonegrinder?
I believe that was part of that company's idea to put like a, they wanted me to do like a biker type thing, and they just changed it for that particular time and for TV, and I just did it one time. I didn't like it, and I just didn't pursue it no more. But they were just trying to change something for something different that doesn't work when I'm done with my car for such a long time.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
It was just something different, I guess. it really wasn't me, but but it was kind of fun though.
Yeah.
But I think it was I believe it was Eric Bischoff's idea. I'm not really sure at the time, but I just know what they told me they liked me to do, so I did it.
Yeah.
You know.
also, Vic wants to know. A lot of people had mentioned this. Your hatred for Vince Russo, and where did that stem from?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Vic wants to know your hatred for Vince Russo. Where did that start?
Oh, it started when he wanted me to do mud wrestling, and I come to the event. I think it was Denver, Colorado, to wrestle a lady named Brandy Alexander, and they just changed it on me. He changed it on me and wanted me to get in and do mud wrestling on the. On the show, and I was like, you gotta be out of your mind, you know, I'm not gonna do nothing like that, but now that I think about it, you know, I would do anything, you know, if I can, like, let him get in the mud with me, and maybe in a cage, and then I'll wrestle him, you know, see what it feels like, and I love to do that, you know, get in the match, you know, in a mud wrestling match with him, you know, in a cage, so... But that was an awful long time ago, and I just didn't care for that at all. That's not what I'm about, you know. It really upset me pretty bad. It wasn't a very good scene.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a long time ago, though.
Yeah.
I really don't think that he knew what he was doing. I really don't. But
I think
anyway,
many people agree with you.
Probably so.
Yes.
It didn't do a lot. For a lot of the young talent getting in the business, you know, it wasn't good for them at all. I don't think they were treated right, and he just kind of messed it up. I think, you know, with the cartoonish type thing, I think it messed it up for a lot of the guys that are really trying to make it in the business and work so hard, you know, to pay, you know, for pro wrestling, you know, and. So I just didn't care the way he pursued his characters of whatever cartoonish things he did. But it really made me mad when he said that to me. I was really upset. I think I really went off on him, but that was an awful long time ago.
Yeah. Just let everyone know, too, if you would like to book Leilani Kai or other people, you can go to facebook.com/bookprowrestlersnow and talk to Steve Stasiak. So I want to thank you for coming on tonight. I know we don't have a lot of time here, but we'd love to have you back sometime and talk about some when you have some more matches coming up or you have some more events coming up, and be good times.
Oh, yeah, anytime. That'd be great. Thank you for having me on your show. It's been great, you know.
Well, thank
talking to you. Thank you very much, and I'll tell your listeners. Thank you.
Yep.
Hey, everybody. This is Rockin' Robin, former WWF Women's World Champion, and you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com.
Hey, this is Sarah Del Rey, the Queen of Wrestling, and you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com.
This is Amazing Kong, and you are listening to In Your Head.
Hi, this is Baby Doll. You're a perfect 10, and I'm in your head.
All right, and now we are joined by Hall of Famer, multiple-time tag champion, world champion, Ron Simmons. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Neil. How are you, man?
I'm doing well, thank you. A little cold here, but doing all right. I might be snowed in tomorrow.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm down south here, so, you know, one snowflake falls in, everybody freaks out. So I'm not going to even bother asking you what it's like there. So I'll take this one snowflake and be happy.
Right, exactly. Well, I want to mention, for my friend Roger, you're going to, for his company, Sinners and Saints Tattoos, you're going to be at Days of the Dead Atlanta coming up February 7th through 9th. I will be there as well. And you guys can get all the information. We'll have a link on the website at daysofthedead.net. Now, obviously, you wrestled for WCW, NWA. They were huge in Atlanta. Have you been to Atlanta, you know, for like a convention in any time or any time lately?
No, man. And you know what? I've been really looking forward to this. And this has been something that that's going to really bring everything I've done, you know, and complete somewhat in my career for professional wrestling. I've done other conventions all over the country and stuff, but this is the one that I'm really looking forward to because this is in my backyard, you know, where I really get to thank a lot of people, you know, that have really stood by me and that were there for me all throughout my career and throughout the beginning when I was getting started, man, and really helped to launch my career. So this is going to be something special for me. I get to thank them, you know, and answer a lot of questions for them, you know. So I'm really excited about this.
Yeah. Now, how do wrestling fans in Atlanta, how do they stand out from other places in the country?
Well, I think they've got a little bit of, you know, background in history, you know, because you had Georgia Southern Championship Wrestling, you know, Georgia Wrestling, you know, you had NWA, WCW, you know. So there's a lot of roots in professional wrestling here. And I mean, it goes way back, you know. And believe me, when I say we're talking about excited fans, I mean, bro, hardcore wrestling fans. Know the history of it, know the origins of it, know the guys and the different generations of the wrestlers, you know. So this is, the South is really, really a wrestling haven, you know, for people that have, you know, grown up in the business, and in particular Atlanta. So this is going to be really good. It's going to be a really good convention. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah. I still want to mention, you mentioned Georgia Championship Wrestling and Wrestling Atlanta stuff. A guy that a lot of people they differ on, but he's really an old school promoter, was Ole Anderson. What were your thoughts on Ole?
Ole, you know, I mean, of course, you know, Ole spoke for himself. He's a hard-nosed character, you know, I mean, very tough and rugged. What you saw of him in the ring and his personality was just him, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, no frills guy, man, out of the ring as well as in, you know. And I've had nothing but respect for him, you know, because, you know, I pride myself on being somewhat of a man's man. And, I mean, Ole's character was the same way, you know. I really learned a lot from him, you know. He had a lot of nothing but a lot of good advice for me. So I was, you know, really happy to have had the opportunity to even be in the ring with him at some couple occasions, and to have learned from him.
Yeah. Well, what was it like being in the ring with him? Was he your boss at the time you were wrestling him?
Yes, right. You know, at one particular time, yes. Oh, it was a learning experience, you know, as well as a tough learning experience, I might add, you know, because it was still in somewhere in the learning processes for me. So it was, you know, hey, either you're going to get it or I'm going to beat you into learning what I want you to, you know, to take from this match, you know. And it was something like that, in which later on I grew on to understand that what he was doing then and come to learn that I appreciated what he was doing then. And at that time I wasn't too fond of it, I might add. But as I got on in my career, I understood what he was doing. So I'm really grateful for him.
Yeah. Along those lines, you said, you know, later in your career, when you wrestled guys like the Mean Street Posse, did you try to, you know, teach them some of the same lessons Ole tried to teach you?
Well, you know, when it comes to some guys, you know, that you get in there with, you know, sometimes, you know, things have to change, and sometimes it can get very real, okay? Mm-hmm. And that would be like in any other walk of business, you know, you might have a disagreement with something, hey, and you might have to take it to the next level. So sometimes those lessons have to be passed on, good and bad.
Right, exactly. Now, you know, a lot of newer fans would remember you from the APA, and yeah, I grew up watching the NWA and WWF, but I'd watch any wrestling I could watch. I always really loved the tag team Doom And what was Butch Reed like? And I think actually a lot of newer people, younger people are starting to see how good he was since the Mid-South DVD has come out from WWE. And do you think he's also kind of underrated among some people?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for sure. And I can't tell you, man, what a great partner that was, you know. And another learning experience for me, you know, and really giving me the ins and outs, you know, on a lot of things that that I wasn't, you know, quite up to date on. And I can't tell you what a very good connection that we grew on to have. You know, it got to the point to where we could tell each other's actions, what we were thinking. You know, that's the kind of connection that they've grown to be. And I mean, he's very underrated when it comes to, you know, his mechanics, his wrestling ability, and just being an athlete overall. So, you know, yes, I would agree to you. Very much underrated.
Mm-hmm. Do you still have the Doom mask?
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know, one could never guess who I was. You know, I was only like among five other African-Americans there, so who would ever guess that it was me? Butch, huh?
Right. That's like, I don't think it's Kamala, but, you know.
Yeah, that's for sure, right?
Now, this is a horror movie convention, and but they have all different kinds of guests. They have musicians and horror actors, everybody. But I do have to ask you, what is your favorite horror movie?
You know, when it comes to there's two that stand out to me, and that will also be The Exorcist and Omen. Mm-hmm. You know, and those are like that I would say somewhat horror to me, because I'm not really into like the Friday the 13th or anything of that nature. So I like something with a little bit of a storyline, and that's my intellect. I'm not just too much into all the cut off the legs, arms, and that kind of gory kind of stuff, you know. So I guess about The Omen and The Exorcist would be about as close as it would come to horror for me.
Yeah. Those two excellent films. And they kind of fit in when you're with The Undertaker, very similar themes.
Absolutely, right. Oh, and man, just mentioning that was another great highlight, you know, in my career. You know, what a privilege that was to work with him, you know, along with my partner as well, John Bradshaw, with The Undertaker, man. Hey, you know, it was a great period of time for me, too. You know, I've really been very fortunate and very lucky, and a lot of the different characters that I've had the opportunity to portray, and a lot of the factions that I've been had the opportunity to be a part of, you know. Mm-hmm. So I've been very lucky.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up because a lot of guys will have, you know, maybe like one memorable run, you know, something they did. But you've done so many different varied things too. Is that ever hard, or what is that like to change from, you know, when you're from one, like you said, you're in you're kind of like this, you're the acolyte, and then that becomes the APA. It's totally different characters. And do you like that aspect when your character kind of evolves?
Oh, absolutely. I think would be along the lines, you know, if you went out to Hollywood and then you would ask any actor, you know, what do they like just being one-dimensional? The first thing they would tell you is absolutely not. You know, they don't want to be characterized as being just that one guy in that one sitcom or something of that nature, because that's, you're trained to be, you know, be versatile, you know, and you, in order to expand yourself and test yourself, to, you know, to grow, you want to, you know, to do different characters and different gimmicks of this nature, if you will. And so I absolutely loved it. You know, I look forward, and always used to look forward to the challenge and to the change. And, you know, and it's just to my advantage, you know, and to just luck would have it, you know, I've had some good characters, you know, that we managed to come up with. And then, but you have to immerse yourself into the role, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you just have to, you know, want to get out there and really portray that to the best of your ability and give the people that have paid their good money to come there to see you the best that you can. And that's what I always prided myself on doing, is bringing the character I was portraying, bringing it to life, you know? And so I'm really happy with the way that all of it turned out.
Mm-hmm. I have to ask a certain question about APA. It was, one of the t-shirts, and I always remember this t-shirt. It was there's been a lot of crazy wrestling t-shirts, but it was one said, "Always pounding ass," and I just want to know.
I knew that was the one you was going to bring.
Like,
hey, I tell you, man, that's probably like my favorite too. Okay.
Uh huh.
Right. Because, hey, when you read it, you just going to have to take it for whatever comes to your mind. That's all I can tell you. You
exactly.
Know what? Man, I'm sure from a looking at it from a man's standpoint, it's not the first thing that comes to his mind is in a ballroom brawl, okay?
Right. A different kind of bar, maybe. But
Yeah, okay.
All right, so we'll leave it at that. But on a more serious note, I do want to mention Mae Young has passed away recently. And did you have any story you'd like to share with Mae Young?
Man, well, you know, only thing I can say with, along with Mae Young is that it was just an honor to have been around her for the many years that I had the privilege of being of seeing her even in action and being around her. She was a great woman, always cheerful, always had something uplifting to tell you, you know, along with Amula and her partner, you know, that, you know, when you saw one of them, you know, you might as well have seen them both because they were very much alike and they were fantastic women as well as great wrestlers, period. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say just for being a woman, I mean, period. Okay? As tough as they come, and she would surely be missed. You know, God bless her.
Yeah. I did want to, you know, I mentioned this last week on the podcast here and on the live show, was, you know, she lived a long life, and right up to when she's about 90, is she got to be part of what she always loved, so I think it's something to be proud of.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, there's not many of us, even in this business, yet long in life, you know, get to have live a fruitful life, and then to get to the ripe age of her. And then, you know, the one thing that impressed me about her is that, man, she was still working in the ring until up in her 80s. Can
yeah.
you believe that?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Right. So that gives you something, that tells you something about, you know, the character of her and, you know, just the woman herself and the spirit of her, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah, one of the most memorable characters of, you know, of the Attitude Era.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic lady. God bless her.
Along with yourself, and if you're in Atlanta February 7th through the 9th, or if you're not, you should come out, because there's all kinds of stuff going on at daysofthedead.net. Check it out, Days of the Dead. I'll be there, and you can see Ron Simmons, and you can see there's all kinds of actors, directors, there's events, there's panels, there's costume contests, all kinds of stuff going on, and I'm really looking forward to meeting you there, and everyone else.
Absolutely, Neil, and I can't thank you enough, man, for having me on, and I'm really looking forward to meeting you as well, and I got to say to everyone out there that's listening, hey, this is going to be really, really good time for everyone, and I'm really looking forward to seeing all of the people for once now in my hometown here of Atlanta, and to be able to say thank you in person. So come on out, and let's have a great time.
Hi, this is Cowboy Bill Watts. Be sure that you take full advantage of In Your Head Online.com. Fabulous site for wrestling memories, what's going on today, what's probably going to happen tomorrow. Tune it in and tell them Cowboy Bill Watts sent you.
All right, I want to thank Leilani Kai for coming on the show, and I want to thank Ron Simmons, damn, for coming on the show. It's good stuff. I will be at Days of the Dead in Atlanta here coming up in a couple weeks, so I will miss the first February show here on In Your Head. But hopefully I'll get some interviews, some video of everything that goes down at Days of the Dead. That's right. So if you guys are in the area, come on out. You can come talk to me. I think that's worth the price of admission alone. Well, not really. But you could still have a good time at Days of the Dead here in Atlanta. I was there last year. It's a really cool interview on YouTube page with Raven. Basically asked nothing of importance, but it is a good time. So basically like every interview I do. But I just want to say, I'm here to find Solo tonight. I found out right before we went live, but no animosity. But if you guys want to call in tonight, I'll be taking calls all night long, 508-644-8503, or you can Skype in Jack and Off. I'm going to play a song right now that was sent to me by my buddy, the Sinister Minister, James Mitchell. It is his cover of the song The Wrestler from the movie The Wrestler. And then when I come back, we'll talk about everything that's going on in wrestling, your thoughts,
your views, your opinions. Bring up any topics you guys want, and I will discuss it. We'll be right back. Well, actually, I'll be right back.
If you've ever seen a one-trick pony, then you've seen me. Have you ever seen a one-legged dog making his way home down the street? If you've ever seen a one-legged dog, then you've seen me. And you've seen me. I come and stand at every door. And you've seen me. I always seem to leave with less than I had before. Then you've seen me. Bet I can make you smile when the blood it hits the floor. Tell me, friend, can you ask for anything more? Tell me, can you ask for anything more? Have you ever seen a scarecrow filled with nothing but dust and meat? If you've ever seen that scarecrow, then you've seen me. Have you ever seen a one-armed man punching at nothing but the breeze? If you've ever seen a one-armed man, then you've seen me. Then you've seen me. I come and stand at every door. And you've seen me. I always seem to leave with less than I had before. And you've seen me. Bet I can make you smile when the blood it hits the floor. Tell me, friend, can you ask for anything more? Tell me, can you ask for anything more? These things that have comforted me, I drive away. This place, it is my home, I cannot stay. My only fate's in the broken bones and bruises I display. Have you ever seen a one-legged man trying to dance? If you've ever seen a one-legged man, then you've seen me.
here at In Your Head Wrestling Radio. That's right. Every Wednesday night, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, you go over to iywrestling.com and you listen to the Internet Icon, the pride of the pilgrims, the handsome one himself, the nature boy, oh man, Jackie Jones here on In Your Head. And usually, one-inch biceps of power goat is here with me, but not tonight. But it does not matter. So if you guys want to call in, I'm going to take calls all night long, 508-644-8503, or you can Skype in at Jackin' Off. All one word. I'm sure many of the listeners are familiar with the term Jackin' Off in the Hittyverse. But I want to thank Leilani Kai for coming on the show. It was a lot of fun. We'll have her back on the show for a longer interview. And I also want to thank Ron Simmons for coming on the show. That was very cool. And I'll be meeting him in Atlanta for Days of the Dead here in a couple weeks. So hopefully, maybe we'll get some video if the man's not too busy. And if you're on the Cape, in the Cape area, he's actually doing this for my friend Roger, who owns Sinners and Saints Tattoos. So if you need a tattoo and you're in the Cape area, which I'm sure most of you are not, check out Sinners and Saints Tattoos. Very cool guy. And actually, he will also be putting on a Mick Foley stand-up. It's coming up here at the Sandwich Taverna. So I'll be attending that. Maybe we'll have Mick on to talk about that as well. Either way, it'll be good times. And so anyway, James Mitchell, that was James Mitchell's cover of The Wrestler. Many people don't know, the Sinister Minister, he does karaoke for a living, and he's a hell of a singer, and he sent me that track to play in the show. It was good stuff indeed. He actually brought up something very interesting on his Facebook recently, and he was comparing wrestling today to a lot of the stuff like Ghost Hunters and all like the occult stuff of today. Now, back in the day, it was like, you know, it was this weird carny thing. It was kind of underground, and only people who really were into that and loved that were involved in it. And then, you know, over the years, wrestling has become more mainstream, and it's more sanitized, and it's lost, like, the carny aspect of it. And the same thing with all the people that are into the occult. And it no longer has that same magic to it, and it's just kind of something that people do, you know, to make money and it's all glitz and glamour, and it's completely different than it used to be. It's a very interesting thing that he said. And if you're interested in wrestling and the occult, if there's the crossover for you, it's good stuff, and it's interesting. We've got a caller here on the line. We've got Santo. Not El Santo Loco, because he's off running. He's running across America from border to border. I don't know what the man's doing. Have you seen him lately? He just, all of a sudden, one day he woke up and he said, I'm just going to start running.
Yeah, that's what I heard about him. Hey, Jack, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, now sometimes I have my phone on mute. Yes, El Santo, he decided to do the whole Forrest Gump thing, and he left IYH, and he never came back.
No, the man just started running. There was there was some problems with the family of El Santo. See, it happened here on the show, where sometimes Jackie Jones comes on, and I just say anything that comes through my head. I challenge a man to a contest. Like, let's make this bet. And he wanted to do a bet, and it was like, if he won, he got to host In Your Head for a week. All right, that's fine. And so, but to make it fair, if Jackie Jones wins, he's going to get something in return. It's not just me putting up stuff and getting nothing back if I win. And so I said, if I win, then I get a night with his daughter. And at first of all, it was like, I get to take your daughter out to dinner or something like that. And then over the weeks, things progress. And it became like, I was taking his daughter out, and I was like, she's going to leave a girl, she's going to come home a woman. And it was like this big, long thing. And then, El Santo Loco, he started tagging, and then it went on to Facebook, it went, you know, the social media networks, the board, And then when we're talking, when I'm saying this stuff, I'm not really thinking these are real people and they're listening. I'm just, you know, me and Sato. And then he started tagging his wife and his daughter in these posts. And then it's like, I look, we both do, we look like a couple of sleaze bags. Like, you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to take your, you know, one night with your daughter, do whatever I please. And then his wife saw that, and she's like, she was like messaging me, and then his daughter unfriended me, which I can't. I mean, a lot of people unfriend me, and sometimes I don't know why. I seem like a very cool guy, but that one I actually understood. I was like, you know what? If I was that 18-year-old girl, I would unfriend this this creep as well. But everything is cool now, as far as I know. But maybe not, because then the man just started running and has never come back.
And sorry to hear that, Jack.
Yes.
So I think technically, by law, you do own his girl, his daughter for a night.
Exactly.
By law,
exactly.
You own her.
Mm-hmm. Originally, I was like, I was gonna take her out to the malt shop, because that's, you know, that's the kind of stuff I'm into, malt shops and.
Yeah, I don't think they have
creams.
That down there in Holland.
Huh?
I don't think they have that in his area.
Oh, all right. All right. Yeah. But yeah, you know, have you ever seen this? We should get off El Sato's daughter, but.
But I want to get on her.
Yes, exactly. Well, anyway.
Oh man! So what? Inter's not in town tonight?
No. He's at the wind. He's dropping a deuce.
Okay, I still thought he was in that bathtub with cartridges.
He very well could be. If you people listen to the show and you don't go to the Facebook page, you're missing out, because all this craziness that happens on the show Wednesday night, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, it carries over to the Facebook page all week long. So go over to facebook.com/group/IYHWrestling. And you can interact with myself and Santo, and Juju B, and Nornrad, and Mr. Clinton, and the Ultimate Beef, and even people like Mickey Mickelson, which I don't know why I'd want to interact with him. But you can go over there, and it's a good time. And you can see stuff that you won't see on the website, like Inchman in a bathtub filled with Nintendo cartridges.
Yeah, I mean, that was like grade-A fapping material.
Yeah, exactly.
As a straight man, I must admit that.
I thought, I don't know, there was some controversy. People were like, that doesn't look like Incher, but I think it's clear that it's clearly 1-inch biceps.
Yeah, and it looks very authentic to me, man. I don't know what people are talking about.
Yeah, and that guy, I think that the little man next to him kind of looks like Incher. Like, perhaps
yeah,
it's
who,
like
who,
a relative.
Who, the centimeter?
Yeah, the centimeter. Incher and centimeter hanging out. Maybe it's like an English relative. Like, he kind of looks like a small bearded Incher.
They all look alike to me.
Yes, exactly. All right. So what's on your mind in the world of professional wrestling?
Not much. I just came to try to troll Incher with that whole bathtub thing, but he's not here, so I can't even do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Monday Night Raw?
Yeah, Monday Night Raw, 3 hours. Now, for a while now, Raw has been, since it went 3 hours, it's like a chore to watch. And then, then we had the old guys, whatever they called it. Raw is old school Raw. And that was an awesome show. Went flying by. I loved it. And then the next week I thought it was a good show as well. And then this week, I thought it was back to, my God, this is like work, trying to finish a show.
Yeah, it was, man. After a while, like, I think, what was it, a Mysterio and Dario round 1000, I just put on the YouTube and watched Regal versus Sting from, like, 96.
It's
fresh.
There's no, they have, like, rematches, endless rematches. And sometimes it's, like, between guys that I even like, but it's just, I've seen it so much. Like, I love The Shield and the Rhodes Brothers, but I'd seen those guys wrestle so many times, but it's still great matches. But then you'll have, like, The Miz versus Kofi Kingston, and I never really wanted to see that once. Never mind, you know, 87 times. And this is another one. This is, like, this match just goes on and on. And I couldn't care less about either guy, to be honest. Like, I used to really like Rey Mysterio back in the day, but I don't care about him anymore. And Alberto Del Rio, to me, he's like one of the most overrated guys ever. I don't think he's terrible. I just think he's like this guy. I think he's like the Mexican Jeff Jarrett. He's okay. Oh, yeah. He talks all right. He wrestles all right. He's got a little bit of charisma, but that's about it.
He's above average, but you know, being from this crop above average is really good.
Yeah, but he's not a guy that deserves for all the pushes he gets. He does not warrant such a push.
Yeah, speaking of pushes, you heard about the whole Dolph Ziggler fiasco?
No, what's going on here?
He pretty much buried Randy Orton, and that's why they're not pushing him. Well, like in an interview.
He's
No, I'm just gonna say I don't remember the exact wording, but I just remember going, everything he's saying is correct, but since he said it to the media, he's in a doghouse. And that's why he's been in a doghouse.
I don't like this stuff. It's like you gotta be like you have to be subservient all the time to WWE, and you gotta watch what you say. You should just go out there and do it's wrestling. It's not you're not working in an office. So you should go out there and cause controversy. That's what wrestling's about. You shouldn't always have to watch your back all the time, what you're going to say. And at the same time, they always say, well, you know, they want people to think out of the box and do this stuff. But they don't. They want you to just, you have to be this guy who's just humble, and it sucks. And then if you do that, no one gives a shit. Look at the game panel. I would never watch a game panel. Couldn't care less. But then I hear Ric Flair's like going crazy on it, so watch it. That was fantastic. Ric Flair's hilarious. Jim Ross, he was kind of hit and miss. Paul Heyman was hilarious. That was great. That's what wrestlers should do. And what do? They cry and go out and make a public apology. If Stephanie didn't go out and make a public apology for that, no one would have thought, oh, my God, this is awful, or, oh, what are they doing? Everybody would have thought, this is fun. This is great. The company loved it.
Yeah, but actually, people wouldn't have even heard about it. If Flair didn't do what he did, no one would have even looked like, you know, we researched and we went to look it out.
Yeah,
you know?
I wouldn't have cared at all about it.
Yes, speaking of shit that can't happen today, like I was listening to another podcast, and they brought up a commentary from Saturday Night Live, Saturday Night Main Event, leading up to WrestleMania 2.
Right.
And it was Bob Orton versus Mr. T.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I heard on the podcast, I'm like, that can't be true. I looked it up, and it was. So it was Bob Orton versus Mr. T. And Saturday Night Main Event, Piper runs in, starts whipping T, and Jesse Ventura tells Vince McMahon, hey, Vince, this is kind of like Roots Part 2.
Now, see, that to me, that's comic genius.
And if that would have happened today, that would have been no one would care. But the WWE, they're so uptight, they would make Jesse apologize. They would send a thousand tweets apologizing. Al Sharpton will be on Raw next week.
Yeah, he'd have to go up there and make a public apology, and he'd just come off as a fag. You don't hear me coming out and apologizing. Because, you know, Yolanda calls me Massa Jones. I revel in that. That's amazing. I think that's good. But, yeah, that's funny. There was a lot of stuff back in that day with Piper. Like when he shaved a little Mr. T. That was good stuff.
Yeah, that was great stuff.
That's when wrestling was. You watch that, you didn't know what was going to happen. Now you watch, it's very sanitized, and it's overbooked. Like, you know, overscripted. You know what they're going to say. I have to say, right now, too, you don't have to make racial jokes. You know, I get a kick out of them. But I think the commentary in all of wrestling at the moment is got to be some of the worst ever. Like, well, some of the worst time I've ever... I can't really think of any... I like JBL the best, and it's not because I think he's great. I think he's less terrible than the other people.
Yeah, he was, trolling Michael Cole. As Michael Cole was trying to push, whatever, all the hundreds of shit he's pushing during the Funko Dactyl's entrance.
Right.
And JBL's cutting him off at all the plugs just to, just to, like, you know, hoot and holler at the girls. And Michael Cole's still trying, following the script while JBL is just going nuts. And I'm just like, that's how it should be. You have one guy you can obviously tell is not on the script. And you have Cole, who's, you know, being pumped all this information, and he's still getting it through while JBL is going nuts.
Exactly. And I get really get a kick out of JBL just burying Billy Gunn every time he's on TV.
Yeah,
I don't know
funny.
If like there's if he they're probably like buddies and he's just messing with them, but it's almost like he really has something, some kind of a thing against the guy. I love it.
Yeah, did you see the meme of Billy Gunn? It's like not sure if Billy Gunn or Ram from The Wrestler.
I did not see that, but I noticed that when I was watching him wrestle, he really and that's actually fitting that I played the Wrestler song earlier, because yeah, he did look exactly like him. This is very weird that they bring back the New Age Outlaws, and then they make them bad guys, because everyone wants to like them, but yet they're bad guys. It's weird. And I'm watching Billy Gunn out there wrestle, and then it occurs to me, this is a guy who is training, you know, the wrestlers of the future. And it's like, that does not quite compute in my mind.
Yeah, you know, when you watch wrestling, that's what you think. You're like, you know, this is the mold for everybody else, for the next generation.
Everyone should try to be the next Billy Gunn. Road Dogg seems like he's just having a blast every time he's out there. That makes me happy.
Yeah.
But Billy Gunn, oh my God. Then he took the shirt off, and I mean, for an old dude, older guy, he's in probably great shape, but, you know, as a wrestler out there, he didn't look so good.
Yeah, he's actually he's deceptively large and strong, Billy Gunn.
Oh, yeah, he's huge. Like, you don't think of him as, like, this giant guy, but he is huge. I remember when he was in TNA, and he just towered over, like, everybody.
Yeah, if I could hit you up with a quick story.
Mm-hmm.
That was a SummerSlam. The one was Austin versus Taker in New York City.
Right.
Me and my friends, we went to go buy tickets in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're walking towards the garden to purchase the tickets, we see DX coming out of a strip club, and it turns out they were filming a segment for Raw.
Mm-hmm.
So being, you know, I think we were like 17, 18, being marks, we follow these guys all around the city as they're doing other segments. So at the end of the segment, they wanted everybody to get together and say, suck it, to the camera.
Right.
So me being a clown, I'm trying to give Triple H to Bunny Ears, and my friend Oscar is pretty big, is also trying to give Triple H to Bunny Ears.
For Men on a Mission?
Huh?
Oscar for Men on a Mission?
Yeah, you know, he was out of the job at the time, so, you know.
Cool.
He was trying to get his way back into the company.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to give Billy Gunn Triple H Bunny Ears. Billy Gunn single-handedly grabs both our hands and, like, starts holding us down. And, like, we're struggling, and this guy is, like, he's not even breaking a sweat, and he's holding us both down with one hand from doing the Bunny Ears. I'm like, God damn, these dudes are strong.
Yeah, they're big dudes.
Yeah.
He's a big man. So, I want to thank you for calling in, Santo. Did you have anything else?
Just one word.
All right.
Batista skinny jeans. What's up with that?
That's not one word. But, yes,
that's
Batista.
Cool.
I frequent Cambridge a lot, and it's like that's where Harvard is and all. And I go to these midnight movies, and the place is just filled with hipsters. And hipsters love the skinny jeans. And I'm not a fan of the hipsters. And it's bad enough on, like, these 20-year-old dudes who are, you know, 20, 30-year-old guys, you know, being the hipsters. But they really just look really faggy on Batista. That whole wardrobe was odd. Was skinny jeans and, like the top off, like, a tracksuit.
Yeah, that looked like it was spray painted on.
And he's weird. Now, I would never say the man doesn't look good. I mean, he looks great. But when Your whole thing in wrestling is he's a big, giant, jacked-up guy. That's what he has going for him. And then, so, if your physique, you know, goes down even a little bit, it takes away what he has going for him. When that's all you have, it's not like Shawn Michaels. When he came back, it's like, man, he looks like, you know, he looks like absolutely nothing. He doesn't have a drop of muscle tone. But it didn't matter because the man is the machine in the ring. He's awesome. Batista's not that. So, you know, if his physique starts to go, it really takes away from what he has to offer. And he looks weird without facial hair. I don't know. His face looked odd. And his promo just sucked. He had, like, no passion in it at all. He was like, I'm here for that. I want the belt.
Yeah, the belt. If you don't mind, I'll take it.
Yeah. Which, in theory, is cool. I like a guy, you know, he's coming in, and he wants a belt. Makes a belt seem important because that somebody would want to have it. But there wasn't, like, much emotion there. And then he couldn't even do the he couldn't even go down with the power bomb because he'd rip his ass on the skinny jeans, I guess.
Yeah,
I was not impressed, by Batista's comeback, and I've really dug the vignettes.
Yeah, so do you think he's going to wear the pants to the Rumble?
I hope so. Urius in the chat room is a big fan of the skinny jeans.
Yeah, he seems like that kind of guy. Mm. He looks like a hipster that wears the skinny jeans.
Yeah, fucking hipsters.
God, everyone, everything.
It's really weird when you go in the bathroom in Cambridge. They always leave the stall door open. So, like, Annabelle and I would go see a midnight movie, and, you know, I'll go to the bathroom, and I'll go to the stall, you know, and, like, the door's wide open, and you walk in there, so you assume no one's in there. There'll just be a dude doing his business in there. I don't know. It's just weird. It's weird.
As long as it's not in a trough, you're all good.
Yeah, and then I see people in there, and they use the urinal, but they stand at it like they're getting frisked down. They put their hands up on the wall, over their head, like stretched out, and their legs stretched out, and just with their pants unzipped, like taking a piss. And it's like, who the hell does that? It's just odd.
It's just the only way they could move, and the only way they could go into the bathroom when they're wearing a skinny jeans.
Could be. Everyone, skinny jeans and fucking beards. That's why I trimmed my beard. I shaved it for a while, because now everyone's like, oh, everyone has a beard. I don't want to do it to be cool. Fucking beards. Alright, beards and skinny jeans. Oh, God. Alright, Santo. And owls. They all love owls. I don't know if you knew this.
No, but now I'm going to start hating owls, too.
Yeah, they dig owls. Hipsters love owls.
Oh, God.
I don't know why.
All right, Mr. Jones, thank you for taking my phone call.
Uh-huh.
I'll talk to the rest of the show in the chat.
All right. Good man. Talk to you soon, Santo.
Bye-bye.
All right. We've got Taz. Is it Tazo or Tazo? Tanazo?
Are you kidding me? It's been fucking 7 years and you don't know my name?
I know how to spell it, but I've never actually... How do you actually pronounce it? Is it
Tasso? Tasso. It's Tasso.
Tasso. All right.
And I'm just listening to the show, man. I'm not calling in.
All right.
I'm using Skype because it's a nice, clean audio. That's why. All right?
It's very nice. It's very clean.
Yes.
Before you go back into, before you hide, is there something that really tickled Tasso's fancy in the world of wrestling this week?
You know, I've started watching like every single wrestling event of 2014. I plan on going through the whole year and watching every single wrestling event.
Really?
On the planet.
Oh my God.
From Lucha to, like, Puerto Rican wrestling,
uh-huh,
to Japan, to the women, to Canada, the whole deal, bro.
Holy crap.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of wrestling.
So, do you sleep?
Not sleeping.
I just picture you just, like, in a mountain of coke, like, in Scarface. But instead of, like, banging broads and then, like, shooting people with machine guns, you're just watching wrestling on the laptop.
That's pretty much it. And jerking off a lot, too.
Yeah, to the wrestling?
Yeah, of course, why not? You know, I watched the Ring of Honor TV this week. It was pretty good.
Oh, yeah? Who'd you jerk off to?
Jimmy Jacobs, of course.
Really?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Is he still a zombie princess?
He's still, I don't know if he's a zombie princess. He's got skinny jeans and white shoes on.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, I was whacking it to that big time.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was pretty good, though. Good stuff. Ring of Honor has gotten me a little interested again. So,
It's weird. I saw on the Facebook, there was one guy, and he's like, supposedly used to work for Ring of Honor. And he's like, I haven't watched for a long time. Turn it on. I saw this guy, Cheeseburger.
Yeah.
And I immediately turned it off. I was like, fuck that. Then another guy's like, oh my God, Cheeseburger. This is like the greatest gimmick in the history of wrestling since The Undertaker. And he just was like, he was just fucking go nuts over it. Like,
wow.
Jamie Forsyth, I think his name is.
Really?
Yeah, he's loving Cheeseburger. So what's your view on Cheeseburger?
Well, Cheeseburger is an ROH student. He is about 5 foot, like nothing, and he probably weighs about 125, I think. Mm-hmm. That's really it, man. I don't know what people like about him. I guess it's the name. I don't even get that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty silly, and I wouldn't really get excited about Cheeseburger just as much as like I wouldn't get excited about like back in the day Cheech and Cloudy, who came out of Ring of Honor, and a lot of these other little guys like your favorite wrestler Grizzly Redwood.
Oh, fucking Grizzly! I noticed that Mr. Cornette, Jim Cornette, he was not he's not a fan of Grizzly Redwood either. So I applauded that.
Yeah, he said.
He's a nice guy, but it looks ridiculous. This guy up there. In skinny jeans.
Yeah, I agree with Cornette on that.
Yeah,
I mean,
he
he's right that some guys, as he said, quote, word for word, on some world in this universe, the Super Smash Brothers are a main event tag team, you know, over Matt Hardy and Michael Bennett, but not on this world, basically.
I don't even know who they are.
Yeah, Super Smash Brothers player, I kind of know who they are, but... You know, whether you want to agree with him or not, it's a different thing. But, I mean, he's kind of right. Those guys, you know, same thing with Cheeseburger. That guy's probably never going to become much of anything. He's just a tiny guy. Just a tiny little black guy.
You know, back in the day, I heard people who, you know, trained people, and they took people's money. And they would say if a guy came in and they'd realize he had no, there's no way this guy's going to make in the business because he's like 5 foot tall or he's 97 pounds. They wouldn't take his money to train him. But Ring of Honor does, and they put the guy on TV. I have not seen him, so I'm going to hold judgment. Maybe I'll watch it, and I would think this guy's amazing. I love Cheeseburger.
Well, the one good one reason, I think a couple of reasons to watch Ring of Honor, Jack, if you're going to get back into it, would be to listen to Steve Corino.
I've heard clips like of stuff, and he does seem very funny, and I've always liked Steve Corino, except for when he ripped me off on a T-shirt, but I do like Steve Corino.
Well, I'm glad he ripped you off, and he's a pretty good, color commentator, and the Jimmy Jacobs, BJ Whitmer, Roderick Strong angle, they're called the Decade, which is kind of a silly name, I think, but... The angle is like guys who've been in ROH for about 10 years or more, and all these other guys are just always leaving. They beat up Eddie Edwards at Final Battle to kind of kick off this new stable / angle. So we'll see where this goes.
Right.
And I don't know. I mean, I guess Matt Hardy, Adam Cole in combination, kind of working together should be sort of interesting. And I think Adam Cole will be wrestling Jay Briscoe for the world title. So it's something to watch, I think.
All right. I will try to check this out. I know you can watch it online, so you can keep up with it. So
Very cool.
I need to check some of this out. Thank you, Tazo. When you're watching this plethora of wrestling, if you find anything that really stands out, update us here on In Your Head.
I'm always on the In Your Head message board, updating it constantly.
You are
with stuff I've watched and new threads and crazy shit. So you know I'm out. You know I'm on the job, Jack.
You are. Very good. Thank you, Tazo. You're a good man.
Later, brother.
Later. 843 area code. Who are you?
Hey, Jack Insta, this is Mike from South Carolina. I don't know if the Heady Verse remembers me a couple of years ago calling in on the show.
Mike from South Carolina.
Yeah, I called in like 2 years ago. It's been a while and all that. I was going through problems with my ex, you know, with the breakup and all that shit. So, but yeah, what's up?
Not too much. Just sitting here talking to Mike from South Carolina. So,
Insta, you remember me?
He is not here. It's just Jack tonight.
Oh, it's just Jack.
I'm sure
all
he
right.
remembers you. Yes.
Okay. Cool. Well, anyway, man, what did you think about Batista coming back?
So I just talked about them a minute ago, but I love the vignettes of Batista coming back. I was not a fan of the skinny jeans and the shirt.
What you guys are talking about. I didn't get to catch the show. Sorry about that.
I thought it was very underwhelming because I actually like Batista, but I thought his promo really lacked passion. He didn't look that great. And since his appearance is a big part, is really his calling card that hurts him. And I did like the fact that he wants to go for the world title. I think that, you know, adds importance to the belt. But I was not blown away by the return of Batista.
Yeah, I was never really a fan of Batista, even through the evolution and when he started blowing up and doing the whole solo thing, running with the title. I just didn't like the hype. So. To him coming back, I just kind of feel like it steals away from Orton's spotlight, because now they're actually giving Orton a chance to be that old school, you know, cowardly heel, depending on everybody to keep the belt for him. And it's just, with Brock going for the belt, you know, being a number one contender, it's just too much, you know. I just feel like they should just let Orton kind of run with it. You know what I mean? Just let him run for a while, because if anything, they're just going to give it back to Cena eventually, and then it's just going to suck again.
Yeah, I have not really been blown away by Randy Orton as champion either. But I like that they have history together. They, you know, they both spun out of Evolution and became, you know, main event guys. So I like that they're playing up, you know, that they have this history together. And just because he's going for the belt doesn't mean he'll necessarily win the title. But I don't know if this is going to be a great match at WrestleMania if that's the main event, Randy Orton and Batista.
Yeah, I don't really see that being a great match either. It's just kind of like history repeating itself. I mean, how many Orton and Batista matches you've seen in the past, you know, going back and forth, and it's just going to be all over again.
Yeah, do you think he'll wrestle in skinny jeans?
I really hope not, and to be honest with you. Yeah, that skinny jean look, that did surprise me. I kind of looked at it like, yeah.
And it seems like he's shrunk in height.
Yeah, I guess he was doing those movies and stuff. He was doing, like, independent movies after he left WWE back in 2009 or 10.
Would that make you shorter, being in movies? He seems like he's not as tall as he used to be.
Like, he just, like, he shrunk overnight or something?
Yeah, he I don't know. It's like, I know my grandmother has shrunk in later years. She's almost 90, and she used to be 5'2", now she's 4'11", but... I don't know. Batista looks like he's like used to be. I thought he was like the same height as Orton before. Now he's like 3 or 4 inches shorter.
Maybe Orton got taller.
Maybe that could be. Maybe Orton got something. He got like lifts implanted in his legs.
What did you think about him hitting Cena's dad? Everybody's making a big deal about that. But, I mean, every time you see John Cena Sr. going in there, you already know somebody's going to attack him. I mean, Edge did. You know, everybody always attacks his dad. So, to me, it's really nothing.
Yeah, and actually, Orton had already beat him up a couple years ago. That was, like, the first guy he did the boot to. Kicked him in the head. So, it was like, all right, seen it. So,
all he did was hit him in the crowd. It didn't look so fake. It didn't even look like he was really hitting them, and he just made a big deal about it. I think he hit him in the shoulder.
Cena just came running out of nowhere. It looked so corny. It's like, why would the cameraman even be back there shooting the empty the driveway? It's like they're showing just like this empty. Why would they be back there for? And then here he comes running around the corner. So it's like, well, I knew he was coming. Why else are they there?
Maybe Bob Orton picked him up in the car, though, and they're going to have Bob Orton versus John Cena's dad over at WrestleMania.
That'd be awesome. But I kind of think they did that whole thing where Cena was running in the dark and fighting in the dark just so they could, like, plug his new glow-in-the-dark neon gear.
Yeah. Now it says you can't stop me instead of Steven.
I kind of like that better. But that is a much better. That's a much better phrase.
Yeah. I'm just hoping that at some point in time, The Rock doesn't come back at all. I really just don't want to see The Rock at this WrestleMania. I just feel like it would ruin the WrestleMania to have him coming in three appearances in a row and just for WrestleMania.
I think there has been three, hasn't it? This would be the fourth. But yeah, I like The Rock. I mean, but his Mania matches in the last few years have not been impressive.
I think they're going to bring Goldberg back, though, for the streak against Undertaker, because they got him in the new game and all that, so
yeah,
I think they're trying to get Goldberg to do that streak.
Mm-hmm. I would dig that. From what I understand, it's supposed to be Lesnar versus Undertaker, but Undertaker doesn't want to wrestle Lesnar. They said he's been pushing for Daniel Bryan, which I think would, in theory, that sounds cool, like it would be a good match, but And I know people love Daniel Bryan, but I think it would be hard to get people to believe that Daniel Bryan's going to beat The Undertaker. And plus, everyone loves both guys, so like no one's going to get booed, and you'd probably end up with Daniel Bryan getting booed, even though they love him. But you know, everyone's going to cheer Undertaker WrestleMania, so I think it would be better just to keep those guys away at Mania.
Yeah, it would kind of be like a Punk thing when he was running last year with the angle against Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
It would kind of be like the same where people still cheered for Punk, and you kind of knew that he was going to lose, especially with all the stuff he was doing with Paul Bear passing away right at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people did cheer Punk, and there was a lot of, you know, people going for him to end the streak, but you already knew, you know, it's kind of not believable.
Yeah, I think with Lesnar, like, it's too bad he's lost so many matches, because if he was undefeated right now, I think people would actually think, oh, he might beat Undertaker. But he's already lost to Cena's first match, and he lost to Triple H several times. So, yeah, I think the match itself would be good, though. But it'd be bad for Undertaker, because he'd be getting thrown around pretty hard. By I think that's why he doesn't want to wrestle Lesnar.
Yeah, I think Lesnar's still trying to grasp the actual, you know, to wrestle instead of the UFC type of style that he's going for, because, yeah, you know, he still always has that in him. But
it makes his matches seem totally different. So I like that. Anything else?
What about the Wyatt family? You like them making a big deal with everything?
I really liked their vignettes when they were coming in, and then they debuted, and I really thought they were pretty shitty, like, in the ring, and then over this time working with Daniel Bryan, I actually think they have improved. The big guy's improved, and Bray's improved. There are times that Bray, even though I think he is a good talker, obviously, there are times I think he just kind of comes off annoying, but I do like it. It's grown on me a little bit. I'm not crazy about it like a lot of people are, but I like it. I didn't like Daniel Bryan joining him. I thought that was horrible.
Yeah, and then just turning face 2 weeks later, it just seemed pointless.
Yeah, it would have been better if he just never was with them. And then they tried to play it off this week that he was in on it all the time, but I really just think they realized it was a bad idea. And this is how they got out of it quick.
Well, I got one last question. I'll let you go so you got other calls coming in. You think AJ Styles, now that he left TNA, you think he's going to sign over to WWE at all?
I don't think so. I think, from what I understand, they didn't show interest in him. So I don't think so. It's just, it's too bad. It'd be nice if he had a run in WWE.
It is a shame.
Yeah, I know the rumor is that Jeff Jarrett's starting his own company, so I kind of think AJ is just waiting to see if that starts before he re-signs with TNA. Then if it does, maybe he'll go with Jeff Jarrett's group instead.
That should be pretty cool. Jeff Jarrett's always been a pretty good promoter. Him and his dad always
yeah.
Always
TNA was a lot better
promotion.
When it was when it was run by the Jarretts.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'll let you go. I'll call up next week. Thanks for taking my call, Jack. I do appreciate it.
Well, thank you for calling. I hope to hear from you again.
All right.
Take care, buddy.
All right. Bye. Bye.
See you. 713 area code. Who are you? They hung up. All right, we got El Santo Loco on the line. He is taking a break from running across country to calling In Your Head. El Santo Loco is on the line. Well, I guess he's quiet. Shaheen is on the line.
Hey,
whoa, whoa. All right, there he is.
¿Qué pasa, gringo?
What's going on? ¿Qué pasa, gringo loco? How do you like that?
¿Qué pasa, chicos? Santo Loco is back in his sucker. Rock his mother, blink and bleep. What's going on, Jack?
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis, siete, ocho, nueve, I don't know. But that's what's going on.
Nothing's going on. You know what's going on. WrestleMania, baby.
We are on the road right now, Santo. We are on the road, the long, winding road to WrestleMania.
Woo!
Woo! Are you pumped? Are you excited about the road to WrestleMania?
Hell yeah, I'm excited for this shit.
First stop is Royal Rumble.
First of all, Jack, let me tell you something, brother.
All right.
You know, I'm always in your head, compadre of yours. You know that. Even though it's been a while, I've been to the show, it's been a while, I get to listen to off and on, been having Java issues. I know people say, oh, Santos, running here, running everywhere, running this. You know, I'm getting up in age, you know, and you get to that time where, you know, you got to make yourself look good, get fit, and make yourself powerful. You know what I'm saying?
I got you. So you trained to
fight. Like you, Jack, you're still young. You're still a baby.
I turned 38 right, here.
You one day you're gonna click in your head and you say, you know what? I'm gonna feel the power when you get that firecracker. All you need is a live firecracker lit. And pow! That's it, boy. You be gone.
And
you be nonstop.
All right. I turned 38 here in February coming up, getting up there.
All right.
Think 4-0's around the corner.
That's right. It sure is.
Well, I kid you, but I'm proud of you. He's out there running. I was like, he's got a big, big beard, and he's running all around. And I think, did someone Photoshop El Santo's head on like this marathon runner's body? No, he's actually out there running.
Yeah, brother, just rolling along here, man. You know, just taking it easy. You know, going one race at a time, But you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy for WrestleMania being here. I got my ticket. You know that. I don't know if you know, but
it's in New Orleans.
What's that?
It's in New Orleans.
It's in New Orleans. Right in my hometown, a few blocks away from my the warehouse.
Brother. Excellent.
And I'm looking forward for all the events that are going to be around here, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on now. We're going to have the freaking access.
Right.
I can't wait for that. I just found out Jim Ross is going to be at the House of Blues Thursday before. You know, he's going to be out there talking to all the people. You know, I've got to check out on that. Also, we're going to have all these indie wrestlers coming over here. Don't forget about WrestleCon, too.
WrestleCon? What's WrestleCon? Is that like a convention?
It's a separate convention that's, you know, of course, not nothing to do with WWE.
Yeah, but they put stuff on that same weekend, a lot of companies, because they know people are going to be in town. So it's good. It's good. And
it's good. I'm glad they're having that. I mean, you're going to have Ring of Honor here. They're going to do a show. You know, my friends out here from Wildcat Promotion, you know, Luke Hawk, they're going to do some stuff with him. I think Shipman's coming to town, too. You're going to have Dragon Gate here. Cole Cabana going to be coming here with the WrestleCon, you know. And then they're even going to have Jack on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have a Mid-South reunion.
Really? That's very cool.
Old Chalmette Civic Center, where we used to have all the great Mid-South matches back in the day when I was a young kid.
Now, who's going to be there? Who's part of this?
I found out Jim Cornette, the Midnight Express, the Rock and Roll Express, Bill Dundee, Those are the big stars. I find out they're going to be on that one, man. It's going to be wild, dude. Mm-hmm. I'm even thinking of doing an event myself, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to do a post. This is what I'm trying to do, a fun luchador run through the city in the French Quarter.
So you're
going to
wear the mask and just run around town.
And run like 3 miles around the French Quarter and then stop at a bar and drink.
Uh-huh.
And have fun and celebrate WrestleMania.
Oh, no, you hope you hope no one thinks, holy shit, this guy's coming to mug me.
I know, huh? All especially
right.
All the problems we've been having here in the city. That's another thing. I hope the police is on patrol that weekend. Because, you know, I got to say, this is New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Every day we got some shit going on here, all right,
yeah.
In the city. And I got to let you know, when we had the Super Bowl here last year, they had a freaking cop in every corner.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Right now, of course, that's all gone. Because Super Bowl, you know, is somewhere
right.
else now. And they made sure they had no kind of problems. But, you know, this is New Orleans, bro. We got problems every freaking day. People getting beat up, mugged, blah, blah, blah. You know, you just got to watch out where you're going. So, you know, I don't know who's coming. Who listen you know, from the show and listeners, you know, you just got to watch your back and just be aware. I know New Orleans is a party town. People love coming here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the city that time for God, they come in here and drink and get fucked up, mess and everything. But just got to watch your back, man, because they got people out there watching you.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to get, you know, I just got to get that out to the people out there, man. Just got, you know, and I just hope, you know, during that time, everything be okay, you know, because I know a lot of people come, people from all over the world that come for this event. You know, they really, the city is really hyped up for this.
Yeah. Now,
you know,
usually when they have WrestleMania in a certain place, they try to put people in the Hall of Fame that fit that local area. And
they announce
the Ultimate Warrior, which that doesn't really, that's not New Orleans, but that's
a huge. The only closest thing he was. That anybody will remember, him and Sting started at the, you know, they were in the Blade Runners.
Right.
They did a Mid-South thing,
yeah.
But who knows, who remembers that?
Yeah, I was just saying, I mean, that's just
thing.
A big thing on its own, because they finally got Warrior back. But who
now,
are some of the other
something.
People do you think they'll put in this year because it's in New Orleans? You got the Warrior already.
I'm thinking
you got to put in Papa Shango.
Papa Shango.
Yeah, because
now you acting funny.
the voodoo.
Yeah, man. You see, you, bro. I knew you would come on something silly, boy. Papa Shango. Next, you're gonna say Doink the Clown because he's a clown like a Mardi Gras clown.
Rasta the Voodoo Man.
Well, what's his name? Hey, don't forget the guy in WCW, the redhead dude.
Lash LaRue. The Raging Cajun, Lash LaRue.
Yeah, Lash LaRue.
He's on my Facebook page. He's always drawing pictures, and I always ask the guy, when he come under your head, he doesn't reply to me. What the hell has he got going on, Lash LaRue?
Well, he's got, he's straight out here fishing for shrimp.
But
let me ask you something. Did Jake the Snake, was he ever inducted?
No, he was not. That's actually a guy I was like a serious pick. I was going to say that would be a perfect guy.
Right. That would be one guy I would love to see get inducted. Another guy, I'm not sure if he'd been inducted. Because I know this WWE Hall of Fame was around before they were televised. If I'm not correct?
Mm-hmm.
How about Paul Orndorff? I don't know how he's doing. I know he had a long time ago. Had problems with cancer.
Yeah, I don't know.
And
I kind of think he's in. I could be wrong, but I think he's in.
Okay. And Ted DiBiase, he's been in too, correct?
Yeah. Tazo,
that's another one been great.
Tazo brings up the dog, Junkyard Dog, but I think Junkyard Dog is in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dog would have been great, but I know he's been done already. Yeah.
And Big Cat Ernie Ladd is in.
Aaron Cat, how about Ron? Wait a minute. I know I missed the interview. Did you have Ron Simmons today?
Yeah.
Would he ever inducted?
I believe he was just a couple years ago.
He was. Okay. All right. That's true. Okay. And see, Jake the Snake would be one of the first one, I think, pops, you know, that everybody remember. Because he was the guy that took Junkyard Dog's place.
Yeah.
But Mid-South after, you know, after Dog left the WWF. at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the next guy that was top. Of course, you know, I know he was family member with Grizzly Smith and all that. But still, everybody loved him. You know, he was a great face, you know. And not only that, he was like a face that didn't give up, you know, who didn't take nothing from nobody.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Another guy would have been good, too, if it was, you know, I know he's been done with, what was his name, Dugan, but he's been done already. Yeah, he would have been great. People have loved him down here back in the day. I know Bill Watts, of course, has been already been inducted.
Yeah.
Probably.
And Jim Ross.
I'm trying to think who else. I mean, then, you know.
Butch Reed.
I mean, you got Kamala.
Kamala would be good.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
He needs to be inducted.
Yeah,
that would
be
great.
Be.
Kamala was big down here, too.
Yeah.
You know, as a villain.
Yeah. Jake the Snake's perfect because not only was he huge in Mid-South, he's also a name that all WWE fans know, too. And
right,
it would be a great
correct.
Story, too,
yeah,
if
that,
he
that
happens to have
sense.
A match at WrestleMania. You know, because he's going to be in. It's not official, but the rumor is he's going to be at WrestleMania, which I think would be a lot of fun. And I wouldn't mind seeing him
awesome.
Having, like, you know, having a last match at WrestleMania. Either singles or even part of a tag team would be fine.
Right, right. Yeah. Just to put him there, you know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
that would be great. You know, but yeah, WWE, they're going to see who they're going to pick and all that. You know, I'm looking to see probably DDP might get inducted. I don't know. I'm just taking a guess out the blue.
Mm-hmm. I could see that.
You know, and then they're going to pick somebody who never been in WWE before.
Right.
You know, either they're dead or alive, but
uh-huh.
somebody who's been, you know, man, I would love to see Skandar Akbar there, even though he'd never been in WWE.
That would
but
be
my
good.
Goodness, a lot of people know him.
Yeah.
You know, he passed away. But
uh-huh. Yeah, she
for,
was
for
gonna,
somebody who's
he was
been
actually
a
gonna,
great villain.
Mm-hmm. He was going to be on In Your Head the year the week he passed away, actually. I don't know if people...
I
know
remember
that, but,
that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was too bad. Grizzly Smith, Tazo mentions here in the chat room.
Yeah, Grizzly Smith, that would be, you know, I mean, a lot of people won't kind of remember him. Let's say old school, you know. I can't say about the Rock and Roll Express or the, you know, Jim Cornette, you know, he's out the picture. Because he got nothing. Even though he's going to be in town, but he's going to have nothing to do with, you know.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Tazo says they should induct Taryn Terrell.
Taryn Terrell? Who's that?
She was the GM of the ECW when WWE was had it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That is the definite Hall of Famer.
Yeah, the one that was in TNA.
Yes, that is a Hall of Famer, Taryn Terrell.
Oh, God. No. If you're going to have a female from New Orleans, what's her name that you interviewed a while back?
Rockin' Robin?
Rockin' Robin, yeah. I think I thought about put that on there. She, you know, at least put her.
Yeah. That's like
Terrell.
A 22-year-old girl.
Terrell, I don't tell her what that, you know. I don't know what happened to her. Didn't she had a little stint in TNA. I watched that one match she was in. She was pretty good, and then she's like gone, huh?
Yeah, she's had a baby.
Oh, she had a baby.
Yeah, or have,
okay.
Or she was having.
Good
I think
for
she
her.
Actually was pregnant during the one of the big matches she had.
Oh my! All right, well, good for her.
Yeah. Actually, she was. You know, I kid stuff about women's wrestling, but she was. She had some great matches in TNA. She had like.
Yeah,
some crazy hardcore
she really
stuff.
Improved herself, you
uh-huh.
know, when she was there. You know, it was awesome.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if she'll come back or not, but she does be interested.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. you know, but Jack, I wish there was a way you could be here.
Yeah, you know, I almost went to Mad Monster Party. It was in New Orleans, but
right, I remember that. That came. My daughter wanted to go, but you know, then she got busy and everything,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and. I remember
know.
That. I don't know how big of an outcome it came because I've seen a few pictures from it like on the Facebook.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they're doing it again. I wonder if that's something that just go to place, Jack? Or is
yeah,
this,
well, they do Charlotte every year, and I'll be at Charlotte in March, and I'll be doing
right.
some stuff. And I can't talk about it yet, but I'll be in the Charlotte one. And then they're going to go to Phoenix this year in Arizona. in summer, which that's going to be hot. But I don't know if they're going to do another New Orleans one or not.
New Orleans.
Yeah.
All right. Because, you know, here we get the Wizard World Comic Con. Uh-huh. That's going to come in February.
Yeah.
I'm going to that. I'm just upset at the WWE superstar they're going to have this year.
Oh, who is
you
it?
You know, like we had CM Punk last year. That was awesome seeing him, you know.
Who's
I went to his...
Who's it this year? Ricardo?
You know, who?
Ricardo?
No, we're getting Ricardo. No, we're getting AJ Lee this year.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, a little AJ Lee, you know, like okay, whoopee-dee.
Yeah.
You know, but
don't let your daughter or your wife talk to CM Punk or go crazy.
To talk to CM Punk.
Yeah, there was a story a couple months ago. There was some reporter backstage at WWE, and she was talking to Punk. And AJ Lee went nuts on her. Like, don't talk to my man, and went crazy, and WWE had to apologize.
Oh, my God.
And they say that her character is very similar to her real person.
I wouldn't doubt the way she looks. You know, little short girls like that, they're crazy. I dated one when I was in high school, like her, and she was nuts. But... hopefully, maybe. I mean, Punk might come. You never know. He might come tag along this time. Cause,
yeah, maybe. Because
Lita was there last year when he was with Lita.
Mm.
And she had her own booth right next to that little French lady. What's her name?
Maurice.
The one that the Miz is going to. Yeah, right next to Maurice with a little dog. I was like, wow, look at this picture here. You got Lita on one table, and right next to her is Maurice.
Yeah. Lita was fun on the show. But,
Yeah, I remember that. But Jack, bro, you know, I got my ticket, bro. Even though I'm in the rafters,
that doesn't matter. You'll be there in part.
It doesn't matter. I just
want to
be there. You know, I can't be spending money on I know people that paid $700.
Yeah, that's
the most I heard, $200. Mm-hmm. And you know, I got other things going on. You know, I got college going on. You know, not for me, for the kids and all that. I got everyday life, man. I ain't no millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't be put. But I'm going to also try to go to other things, too, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was at wrestling.
Maybe the Hall of Fame. I'm thinking about
that
it.
That would be a lot of fun.
I'm definitely going to go to Raw.
Yeah.
Raw's going to be here the next night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things happen there crazy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I took my vacation around that time. So hopefully I will try my best, man, to do it, you know. As much shows I can make, you know.
Because
I already found out about the indie shows they're going to be here. You know,
I was at WrestleMania.
Even though it's not going to be in the city itself.
Yeah. I was at WrestleMania 11 and 14, and both of those I was pretty far up. I think 14 I was like all the way in the back. But like you said, it's just being there, you're part of like this big, you know, event, and it's a lot of fun. It's and like I remember when I actually ordered WrestleMania 14 tickets. And I went to order them, and they just, I called up, you know, and they immediately give you, I got up early to order most stuff, and they immediately try to give you the best ones, and I had got like four tickets or whatever, and they're like, that'll be, you know, like it was like $2,000 or something.
Holy crap.
And I was like, you know, like in my early 20s at the time, I think, or late teens or whatever, and I was just like, oh, well, no, I don't want those tickets, so, you know. It's like, do you have something a little cheaper? And then so they end up...
I know,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, the price is just ridiculous, man. You know, it's just... But at least I still went to go see him at a house show here not that long, you know, last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was pretty good. You know, and of course they announced with the more about the WrestleMania, you know. And the way they did it here, you know, they did bring all the superstars at the house show.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
Except Cena, of course, because that's the time he was injured.
Right. So I'm sure you were very heartbroken that you didn't get to see Cena.
Yeah, or whoopee-dee, you know. But I'm thinking already we're going to have Brock Lesnar versus Undertaker. I know people talking about Sting. I don't think Sting. Yeah, that's another one that have been great to be inducted
Sting,
here, too,
yeah, it would be.
In some way, you know.
It would be a great year if Sting finally did go to WWE and they... Him and Warrior going in the Hall of Fame at the same time, that would be a nice story, too. They started out their career together, and then they had kind of parallel careers. One was the big guy in WWF, while the other guy was the big guy in NWA, and they both wore the face paint, and they never really, you know, wrestled. Mm-hmm. Then they would kind of end their career at the same time at the Hall of Fame. That would be a nice story. You could that they could, you know, show some videos of both guys and
right.
what they did at separate times, and that'd be cool.
Right, right, but I like to see, you know, that. But I'm not sure when, you know, maybe next year.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just hoping to have some matches laid out good. Freaking enjoy this, you know. Just, I guess we just find. I haven't watched Raw this past Monday. I know I heard y'all talking about Batista came with some skinny pants.
Uh-huh.
Is that true?
Yes, he wore he's wearing skinny jeans.
Oh my goodness! And does he look big like he used to, or did he lose weight?
He's lost some weight. He's lost
he
some.
Did?
Yeah, he's
okay.
not. He's
All
got
right.
he's a little less muscle mass. He also looks shorter, which is weird. And his face
right.
looked very different because he had like he shaved
yeah.
his eyebrows, and then he's got no, he doesn't
oh,
have the
my.
Beard. It's weird.
I guess we'll,
it kind of looks
I
like
we'll,
Big Vito, like Big Vito's head on.
Big Vito. I guess we'll find out how he's going to end up. That's going to, you know, I mean, the way the storylines are going now, they're moving up a little at least better because at one time I almost gave up again.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think they moved up, you know, and did some other little changes here. But as long as we could get the most loudest yes chants in the dome.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Superdome is known to be one of the loudest places,
uh-huh.
indoor places. In the United States, you know, you go to the Saints games, you know, who you know, going nuts all over the stadium, and it's so freaking loud. And I want to hear the yes chant, just like we hear the who that chant during the game. I want a yes chant at the end to finish the damn show. That's
yeah.
what I want to hear.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm hoping for.
That was a great moment the other week when he was on top of the cage and everyone was doing the yes chant. That was really a great moment.
Right, right. And then it's just going, you know, massive with everybody doing the yes chant now, you know. I found out some football team, college football teams and basketball teams are doing it too. You know, so it's like, I even do it when I beat my PRs in my races. I go, yes, yes, yes.
That's awesome.
I always try to put a little wrestling stuff in my
uh-huh.
you know, and they already know me as the luchador runner in my group run. So I'll try to, you know me, but I'm still the same, brother.
Oh, yeah.
I ain't gonna change. Even though I'm the ball of the athletic speedster running around, I'm still the same Santo Loco.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good to
everybody
hear.
Know, man. And I know everybody asks you, where you been? You haven't been in your head, blah, blah, blah. But I try, man. Just, you get busy and stuff. I always wanted to get, I finally got the Java working, even though I got kicked out the chat room again because of the stupid Java.
Yeah, Java's a pain in the ass, I have to say. If anybody out there, if you know of like a nice like chat room that'd be easy for everyone to get into, I'm always up for suggestions because the Java doesn't work on phones. It doesn't work on my phone.
Right.
If I'm out and if I'm not home and I'd like to go in the chat room on my phone or something, I can't do it. So it kind of blows.
Right. Man, you're doing the show solo today, huh?
Yes, yeah, just me.
No intern, no President Clinton.
No, it was a last-minute thing. Intra said he was tired, so I didn't
tired.
Have a chance to ask Clinton. He's welcome to come on the show, though, if you would like. But, yeah, so, yeah.
Man, but, man, brother, let me tell you something, bro. I'm glad I'm able to talk to you.
You too.
You know, I was still the Saints, you know, like I said, Santo Loco. And look. Anybody out there talk about you, bro, I got your back. You know that.
Well, thank you.
You know,
I appreciate
you
that.
Boy,
there's some
bro.
Crazy
you
people
boy.
Out there.
I see
there.
Somebody say something about you there. I said, man, don't be messing my boy, Jack.
There. Yeah. Exactly.
Nah,
we might kid each other, but we're looking out for both of you. Both of you.
That's right. And one day you might see me out there running with y'all. I might be running with Flea's wife.
Yeah, she's running all around all now too.
She loves. We always chat. I always, you know, she chat about my runs. I chat about her runs. You know, she's my running sister.
Mm-hmm.
So
She was going
to tell Percy I said hello to her. Keep
she
going.
Was doing one around Halloween time where she, I think she wore zombie makeup or something.
Oh,
everyone
wow,
had to
that's
dress
cool.
as like a, something from. I know she did something where she, it wasn't like a whole bunch of stuff on you. So because she
right,
said people
right.
had like big costumes and like you really can't really run around or anything. So I think
yeah,
she just
I know
put some
hard. I tell you what, you're running with a wrestling mask, bro. You give props to the luchadors, but they wear that mask to the matches, brother. You sweat your ass off.
I have some. I don't want to say it on the show because I don't have them in hand yet. But coming up this year, I'm going to have something for sale, lucha masks for both in your head and without your head. And I don't want to give too much
Whoa.
Away, but I'll send you.
That's
I'll
awesome.
Send you some information on Facebook. I think you'll like my idea.
All right, I like to check that out. Yeah, personal in your head luchador man.
Then I'll actually have them, and I'm going to have them at conventions when I'm at horror movie conventions and whatnot. So
that's cool. That's cool. Good. Well, Jack, I know you got other people waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Like always, but you know, I could be ranting all day, and, you know, I'll come back and rant again. But Jack, let me tell you something, brother. Tato Loco, we'll be back. I'll be here, bro. We'll be talking about some lucha, some wrestling. And to all them gringos out there, en tu cabeza. Adios, Jack. You take it easy, my brother.
Thank you. It's good to hear from
and
you.
Don't forget, if you're doing a post show
for
WrestleMania.
Yeah, for WrestleMania, we definitely
should
do that.
I'll be there with your brother. I'll try to send you texts
throughout right.
the shows or whatever. I don't know what you want me to do,
mm-hmm.
but you know, I'll be in your head live, commentator or whatever. I could come back or whatever after the show, whatever.
All right,
whatever
yeah, we'll figure that out. We should definitely do something.
Say and everything.
Excellent. We'll definitely do something for WrestleMania.
All right, you get with me. All right, Vato. All right. You take it easy, my brother.
See you soon.
Adios, gringos!
All right. We also have some people were on the hold there for a while. If you want to call back in, go right ahead. The lines are free here, except for Mr. Sheed. I'll be talking to you in 1 second. But it's 508-644-8503 or Skype in Jack and Off. Shaheen, what is on your mind?
Hey, what's up, boss?
Not too much. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, man. See you doing it alone tonight.
What was that?
So I see you're doing it alone tonight.
Yeah.
Hosting the show.
Yeah. Earlier I was joined by Leilani Kai and Ron Simmons, and now we're taking calls.
Yeah, I was listening.
All right, cool.
Yeah, I was listening. But I don't know, man. I guess Daniel Bryan's not going to be in the Royal Rumble.
Actually, I think I was looking on WWE.com, and I think he was actually, maybe he's not. No, I don't think he is. Yeah, so I guess there won't be a chance of him main eventing WrestleMania then.
Unless something happens. I don't know, man. I'm totally against that, I think. It just doesn't make sense, you know? This guy's been chasing the title the whole time.
Yeah.
And then he voluntarily just steps out of the Royal Rumble just to face Bray Wyatt. Like, mm-hmm. there's no... It doesn't make any sense, you know?
Yeah, I guess there's possibility where, you know, they could do something where the winner of the Rumble then loses their title match to him. But I don't really even like that idea because then it kind of devalues the Royal Rumble. I think it is
exactly.
cool. Whoever wins the Royal Rumble, then you know is going to main event WrestleMania. And that would be a great way to build it up. People are already behind him. And it's kind of
yeah.
like he's being screwed by the authority. And then he goes out there and wins the Rumble. And then, you know, he's going to main event WrestleMania. So... You know, even though they're trying to screw him, he still gets his chance to shine, and then he finally wins the title. That would be a good ending to this big long storyline. Him just totally getting screwed all the time because he has to come out at the end of that on top. He never got one over on the authority in that big long feud. That's really
sure.
shitty. It's bad. That's bad storytelling.
Yeah, from what I hear, I guess Vince McMahon is a really big on him now.
Yeah, that's very cool. Well, you know, Vince McMahon, I do think, like, he likes the big guy stuff, but if someone does get over, he does, you know, recognize it.
I mean, it took him long enough, man. He's been over for, you know, over a year now.
Yeah. He could fight Bray Wyatt and win the Rumble. So hopefully they change their mind and still have him in the Rumble. And because that would be huge too if he wins this grueling match with Bray Wyatt and also then finds a way to win the Rumble. I mean, that would just put the guy even that much more over.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. I hope they do put him in the Rumble. I mean, I don't know. I think either way, they need a big reaction, a big yes chance and everything going on at WrestleMania. That's all I know. Mm-hmm. That's a big WrestleMania moment. If he wins the title at WrestleMania,
oh yeah,
that's one of those moments that, you know, you'll look back 10 years from now, and that'll be on,
yeah,
you know, the greatest 100 moments of wrestling and shit like that.
And
you know?
Daniel Bryan winning the belt at WrestleMania, that's going to be way better than Batista winning the belt.
Right. I don't want to see Batista winning, man.
I don't either. He's better
than Orton and Cena, but
yeah.
For fuck's sake, man, this guy just came back like last week, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't want to see him win the Rumble already.
No, I'd like to see some build, and I'm not against him being in the main events and maybe eventually winning the belt or anything like that, but I think you should build him up a little bit and see if people really take to him and if he still has something,
right.
But not just bring him back right away and put the title on him.
Yeah, I remember you spoke on his height and how he kind of dropped on his height level. I think he wears those things you wear inside your shoe
like
to extend your height.
He probably does, but he did look considerably shorter on Raw.
I'm guessing that's what he wears. And
like some lifts.
That's probably why.
Yeah. A lot of those guys you can see, even Kane, like, you can see like very big lifts in his shoes.
Right.
His wrestling.
Yeah, they even did it to Giant Gonzalez, I think.
Yeah. It was funny.
When
I was reading Old Observers, when Kevin Nash became Diesel, and I'd bought a bunch of Old Observers once on eBay. It was fun to read like from the early 90s. And he had talked in there about how when they signed him and they had him get hair extensions and these lifts in his shoes. He was like one of the first guys to start wearing lifts as a wrestler.
Yeah.
Even though he's already really tall and everything, they wanted to see him, you know, even taller.
Right. Make him look unhuman.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the Rumble or the Outlaws, I think they're facing the Rose Brothers, right?
Yeah, which is, that's what's weird about that. That's going to be the pre-show match, and I think that should totally be on the pay-per-view. They spent a lot of TV time building that up, and the New Age Outlaws, you know, I know they're old and stuff, but it still looks like, cool, they're going to be on the show going for the title. That's definitely a pay-per-view worthy match. I'd like to see it.
They probably just don't have the time for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they could cut out some other crap match. That's, you know, the tag titles, and it's New Age Outlaws first time going for the titles, and like a decade or more. I don't know. I would like to see it.
What other matches are they having? Just Giant. I'm saying Giant. Fucking Big Show and Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, on WWE.com, it's Orton versus Cena, which you've seen, you know, countless times. Big Show versus Brock Lesnar, which actually we see a lot of times back in the day. Daniel Bryan versus Bray Wyatt, the tag match, and the Rumble. Which, actually, I mean,
that's
a pretty good card.
Yeah, they don't have time for it, you know? What other match could they put on the pre-show?
Yeah. It's too bad, though. I mean, that would be one I'd like to see on the pay-per-view.
Yeah, they should save the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, you could just save it for another one, exactly. You could put those guys in the Rumble.
Exactly. I don't know. I guess they won't be in the Rumble. They should just do it like they did back in the day, man, when they just had the guys wrestle and just come out at the Rumble, you know?
Yeah, I think they do that most times, and then all of a sudden they were just like, well, Bray's not in the Rumble, so now I can wrestle him. And the other, I don't know, it's weird.
Yeah, I hope they don't make this official, because I think they may just put Bryan in the Rumble. I think they may just want to make it look like he's not going to be in the Rumble just to get a surprise, you know? I'm hoping that's what it is.
That could be.
They just start doing that and not including the people that wrestle on the actual card. Mm. In the Rumble match, that's pretty dumb, if you ask me.
Yeah, because you say you have a lot of the big-name guys will have singles matches or tag matches.
Exactly.
And, you know,
you're just gonna have a bunch of jobbers at the Rumble pretty much, and then you just have like probably like two or three top guys that don't have a match on the card, and that just makes it obvious who's gonna win. Like
yeah.
This year, it's either gonna be Batista or CM Punk. Who else could win it?
Yeah, when I watch the Rumble, like it's cool when the big names comes out, or like an old guy comes, even though you know like they're not gonna win. It's just fun to see him. But it's always a letdown when like they count down and like you know Jimmy Uso comes out or. Back in the day,
yeah.
like one of the Harris brothers comes out, it's like, well, you know, they're not going to win.
Yeah, one of my all time favorites was when the Headhunters came in. You remember that?
Yeah, that
was
great.
Like 95.
Uh huh. I always wish.
Yeah, that was right when
run.
I discovered you know, like IWA in Japan. Not the IWA South, but
mm-hmm.
the Japan stuff.
Yeah, I always wish those guys
it was
had
right
a run.
Around the same time.
Because I always really liked them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think they
would have done well in WWE.
Yeah, definitely. It was a good gimmick. I actually thought they were Arabian, I guess, or Dominican.
Yeah, I remember because I was getting the tapes back then, and it was like the King of the Deathmatch tournament where it came down to Funk and Foley.
Right.
And they were on there, and I that was tape I watched a million times, and they were just crazy. They were doing like. Flips over the top rope, and they're like, it's like Abdul the Butcher, like two Abdul the Butchers, but they're wrestling like Sabu.
Exactly. Yeah, that was one of my favorite shows of all time, man.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, Terry Gordy was there, Leatherface, and all those guys.
Yeah, they say.
They even had Dan Severn on there, I think, didn't they?
I think he did. There was, I know in Foley's book, he said that the guy, Corporal Kirshner, was Leatherface, like, he was like a weird guy, like he really liked to hurt people.
Yeah, I bought his shoot interview.
Uh-huh.
he definitely is out there. But I had no idea he actually was Leatherface.
Yeah, I didn't know it until I think when I read Foley's book was when I found that out. Because, you know, I didn't have the internet back then, so now you'd hear all about it. I saw him at one of the fan fests. Intra and I was at one of the NWA fan fests, and he had the Leatherface mask. Like, he wasn't wearing it.
Did you ever do anything after that? After the Japan stuff? You never anywhere else, I don't think.
Yeah, he came, I guess he did like a real short run in U.S., and he was saying that it was like some promotion that was run in the ECW arena, but I don't think it ever took off. You know, there's a million ones that tried to do,
There's probably, 3PW. I think they used to do a lot of shows where they brought in a bunch of people. Like they had, I think Jerry Lawler and Terry Funk had a match there. Bam Bam Bigelow and that Bigelow Butcher had a match. A bunch of like, you know, almost like dream matches, I guess you would say.
I think that Leatherface thing, like it would just come off really hokey in the United States. It's weird. You watch it, and the Japanese people are like really scared and running away. But like, if some guy came out like dressed as Leatherface, I think people in the United States would just think this is stupid.
Yeah, plus people in the U.S. I don't want to say they're smarter, but you know they don't take wrestling as serious as Japanese people. Japanese people, they actually think the guy might hurt them, you know. And then in the U.S., if the guy's talking shit to you, man, chances are 99% of the time he's not going to do anything.
Yeah, like he's not
professional. At least.
Start hacking people up with a chainsaw.
Plus, it didn't even have the chain on there, you know.
Yeah.
He was on the tag team with like Jason the Terrible. Mm-hmm. And he was basically just like a knockoff Jason, and then they had like Freddy Krueger and all these guys. I'm like, oh fuck, man. This would never happen here.
The Freddy Krueger one's the worst to me because it's like he's like the Leatherface, like okay, it's a guy in a leather mask, but Freddy Krueger, it's a guy in a Freddy Krueger mask, which you know in the movie he's not wearing a mask. I don't know, it seemed even dumber to me.
I like Leatherface though, but the other guys I couldn't stand them, man.
Uh-huh.
I remember Eddie Gilbert and Doug Gilbert came in and they played Freddy Krueger and Michael Myers back in the Wing promotion. I don't know if you're familiar with that one, but
I remember like I used to get all that stuff, but I don't remember Wing too much, but I remember the name of it. But
yeah, High Spots put out I think it's like an 8-disc combination, and it's like $20. Probably has like 40 hours of Wing stuff on there.
Yeah, I still have all. I don't have a. I guess I do have a working VCR, but I got tons of VHS tapes I used to get. It's weird because now, like, the, well, that stuff you won't be on the network, but a lot of that, like, the old pay-per-views and stuff, it's like, all my old VHS tapes are kind of obsolete now.
Yeah. Still,
although they
all
have the real music. They have the real music on them. And so
exactly. Imagine Sandman. I hate when they have it on demand the 24/7
really
thing, and they play some terrible.
It really takes away from the ECW footage because the music was a big part of ECW. And they would pick songs that really, like, matched everyone perfectly. Even, you know, like Mikey Whipwreck coming out to I'm a Loser Baby and all the stuff.
Yeah.
All the music. Oh, Terry Funk to
Desperado.
Desperado. It was, like, perfect for him. And it really, like, got over the character just hearing the song and everything. And then, on the WWE stuff. And I know, you know, I guess they can't play that stuff. But they could find, like, some better stuff that match. They just play like generic music for everybody, and half the stuff doesn't fit anybody, and it really takes away from the feel of the show.
Yeah, I agree with you. What's the name? I don't know. Paul Heyman, he just didn't give a shit, man. I guess they were small enough for him to get away with it.
Yeah.
But like almost all their themes are famous songs. I remember he did a like a tribute video to what was the pay-per-view? November, remember?
Oh, yeah. That was always great. Every year they would play November Rain. And
that shit was awesome.
He has a quote. Shit. It was actually a DJ Ran on, and he worked for him. And he said, Vince, Heyman's quote was, it's easier to ask forgiveness than to ask permission. So you just do that, and then if someone complained, be like, oh, sorry, so.
Hey man, he got away with it. They were using Teen Spirit by Nirvana and Raven and Dreamer. Uh-huh. The whole thing was based around Teen Spirit.
I use that quote now. I'll say, well, it's easier to ask forgiveness and permission, and then people think it's like, what are you, some kind of rapist? But I was like, no.
That's what it sounds like, man. Kind of fucking creepy.
Yes, I am. Yes.
I don't know if I should be on the phone anymore. Hey, before I go, I remember a couple weeks ago I told you guys about Extreme Rising and how they had a show in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And they put the wrong date on the advertisement.
Yeah, yeah.
You remember that?
Uh-huh.
Well, I just found out, I read it on Facebook, on the guy that owns it now, Steve O'Neill. I guess, you know, there were five guys involved with it as far as owning the company, and one of them was Shane Douglas.
Yeah, right. It was like him and Kevin Kleinrock. Yeah.
Yeah. And the O'Neill brothers and somebody else. But I guess they kind of parted ways, and Steve O'Neill is the one in charge now.
Mm-hmm.
And he spoke to the FedEx or Kinko's or wherever he got the posters made it. And they said that he actually put the right date on there. And they confirmed it with the person that I guess their name was on the application, which was Shane Douglas for some reason. So I guess they called Shane Douglas, and he gave them the wrong date on purpose, just to, like, fuck him over.
What? God, they're people.
Fucking dickhead.
Yeah, people are, there's so many people in wrestling like that are just scumbags.
He's such a dickhead. And I think it was, I don't know if you guys were interviewing New Jack, or I watched it on YouTube or something, so I might be repeating your interview, but I remember New Jack said at one of the shows they had, like, a Red Cross ambulance. And they were getting donations,
uh-huh.
And Shane Douglas just, like, pocketed the whole thing.
Yeah, that's, I don't know if that was, I know he's not a fan of Shane Douglas. You know, it's weird because people, you think a New Jack is this crazy guy, but on all those, like, videos lately that they put up out of ECW, like the, you know, like the newer, like, documentaries, and when he does the interview stuff now, he's the one that really makes the most sense of all those guys.
Yeah, he's not an idiot.
No.
Yeah. I met him a couple times last year to the point that it wasn't even fascinating anymore to meet him. It was just like another guy. But first couple times I spoke to him, I approached him and spoke to him. He, you know, he's a cool dude. I thought he was like crazy and shit, but he's normal.
Yeah, I really like him. I always think he's great on In Your Head, so. And anytime I've ever dealt with him, he's been very cool. Like he did the track with Duckman that we put on the CD, and you know, he did not do that. He was cool about it. He enjoyed it. And I always think he's a good guy. I wouldn't want to be on his bad side, but I like the guy.
Yeah, definitely not. Definitely not on his wrong side, man.
Well,
yeah, they got another show coming on in a month or so. So
I enjoy their show, so I hope it does well.
Yeah, I think they're doing okay, but they were supposed to have a TV deal. I guess that fell through, but
yeah,
I wasn't really expecting much out of it.
Yeah, it sucks though because they did make like a big deal about that happening, and then it doesn't happen. It makes them look bad.
Yeah, you got this. I stopped watching wrestling for a few years, so I wasn't familiar with him. But I guess you know he was in the WWE. Ricky Ortiz, you know.
Oh yeah, he's got like the afro. I don't know if he still does.
Well, yeah, when I seen him, I think he was bald. He kind of looked like Batista. He looks like Batista now.
All right.
He was clean cut, and, you know, I think he had a shave set. I'm not sure. And he's all tattooed and shit now. So.
Yeah, Tazzle.
They got that guy. They're making a big deal out of him, and I guess he's facing, what's his name? What's the bald guy's name? Luke Hawks.
Oh, he's the man.
Oh, yeah, he's a good guy, man. I fuck with him.
Mm-hmm.
They should actually. I don't know why WWE or TNA didn't pick him up.
I don't know. There was a while ago. They said Ring of Honor. He signed a deal with Ring of Honor, but then it never happened. I guess. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean TNA. Come on, man. They don't have anybody else.
Yeah, I really think that would be a great guy for TNA because you could bring him in. He's got the wrestling ability. He's got charisma. He can talk, so you could make him a main guy. And he's not a guy that people associate with WWE or some other company, so you can make him your own guy.
Exactly. Better than Magnus. I mean, who really likes Magnus?
Yeah, I like him, but like I wouldn't go out of my way to see him.
He's a mid-carder. You don't
want to
have him as a face.
Yeah, he's not.
Like the last couple of weeks, I've been watching TNA for some odd reason. I stopped. I shouldn't say I stopped because I never did watch. But last couple of weeks, I've been watching. And I understand why people say it's so bad. Like, it doesn't make any sense. This fucking guy, Rockstar Spud. Like, what is this shit, man? Are you serious?
Yeah, he's all over the show. I
exactly.
Stopped watching because I really just didn't enjoy it. And then I'll watch it every now and then, and I'll watch it and be like. It's cool to see new people. I understand that. But, like, all the new guys, like, I don't care about it. These guys, like Sam Shaw and Rockstar Spud. And there are a few guys. I do get a kick out of a couple of them. Like, EC3, I don't like that either.
I don't like that guy.
No, some people are really crazy about him, but I'm not into it. All the stuff that I do kind of like, it's all just kind of dumb comedy guys, which that's fine, but you can't have like a whole promotion just filled with comedy guys.
Yeah. I don't know, man. If I was in charge of TNA, I'd just pick up a bunch of guys that are on the independents, you know, and just start brand new. Since they're letting go of AJ Styles, they already let go of Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they're letting go of Sting.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he's signing again. So, I mean... If they could have afforded to pay Hogan, what was it, like $40,000 a show or whatever it was,
yeah.
They can pay Luke Hawks, you know, like $2,000, $3,000 to come in and
yeah,
and,
Luke
and
Hawks.
Do the show.
There's there's a lot. There's you know Colt Cabana. There's
yeah, Briscoe brothers, fucking Briscoes, and they just got the American Wolves, so that's kind of cool. But
yeah, I'm looking.
I don't know what they're gonna do with them.
Mm-hmm. That's what they used to do, though. I mean, they brought in Samoa Joe and. There's a lot of, like, you know, the big-time indie guys at the time. And I mean, there was that first year, Samoa Joe, people can say, like, they messed up with him, which they did. But the first year, Samoa Joe, that was great stuff in TNA.
Yeah, I mean, they should still push him more than Magnus. I mean,
yeah.
I enjoy him more than Magnus.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you that much.
Not really thinking. If you just took Samoa Joe off, he's been off TV, I guess, but... If you just bring him back and really start pushing him, I think people would get into him again.
Yeah, I don't understand him because I don't know. I heard this somewhere, and my memory's pretty bad, but I heard AJ Styles he charges $5,000, I guess, a show for independence. So it really doesn't make sense to me. You gave this guy the title, the fans are chanting for his name. You know, after he already left,
yeah,
and you guys are still mixing him up in the program, still mentioning him when he's clearly not with the company anymore. It doesn't make sense to me. If you could afford to pay all that money,
it's mind
you could pay him $5,000.
It's mind-boggling that they had him on there, And when he lost the, where he was fighting Magnus, lost the title to Magnus, and, like, they took, like, the whole company to beat beat AJ. They made AJ Styles look, like, better than everybody in the whole company.
Exactly.
Their company looks like shit, and the storyline was he wanted to leave because the place sucks. And then he really leaves. He really leaves the company.
I find it funny, man, because it seems like every guy that's leaving TNA, they leave looking better than they were a week ago when they were with TNA, just because of the way that TNA lets them go. Mm-hmm. Hogan had Dixie basically sucking on his balls.
Yeah.
This guy takes out half the roster. I mean, come on, man. This guy's leaving the company. You should be putting the guy over that's going to be the face, and, you know, not putting him over when he's leaving.
Exactly. It
makes
terrible.
No sense to me.
All right. Well, I don't know what's going on here. And Tazo is called in the show on webcam, and he's doing the BJ face, and his girlfriend just came in. And, now Jimmy Jam has just come on webcam, and he's cheering. I don't know.
Oh, man.
This is weird times.
I'm glad. I'm glad I'm not seeing these visuals, man. I'm good on that. But hey, before I leave, they should give that guy Gunner a push, man. I like him.
I like Gunner too. He was a guy that I'd saw for years in Charlotte when I do the fan fest, and I always thought, like, you know, this guy's like, he looks great. He has this charisma to him. He doesn't really talk a lot in TNA.
Right.
But yeah, he's another guy too that he can be their guy because you don't associate with him. You don't think, oh, this is just an old WWE guy. This is, you know, a new guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely, I don't know, I like him. I've never really heard him talk. He's probably not very good on the mic, but
yeah,
he got the look, you know? He got the look that kind of sticks out. Mm-hmm. It's not just, he doesn't look like every other wrestler with a beard, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Shaheen.
All right, man.
Thank you for calling in. You're always a good caller, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, appreciate it. Have a good one.
Thank you. All right. The phone lines are now open. If you want to call in, 508-644-8503, or Skype in Jacking Off. Which, that might be what's going on here on the webcam. I believe if you call in with Skype, you can actually watch Tazo and Jimmy Jam with me. And it'll be a good time. All right, Jimmy Jam, he's all pumped. He's, like, dancing, and he's clapping, and he's just cheering. He is very excited. I think he's about ready to catch a football. I'm not sure what's going on. All right, I do want to mention Royal Rumble coming up this weekend, this Sunday. So we have the Royal Rumble match itself. We've got tag team champions Cody Rhodes and Goldust versus the New Age Outlaws. I think that's going to actually be a great match. Daniel Bryan versus Wade, Bray Wyatt. I think that will actually be a good match as well. And, it's probably some shenanigans will go on, so that'll be good stuff. Big Show and Brock Lesnar. You know what? I don't really care about the Big Show, but they have been doing a good job of getting me, wanting to see this match. And I really hope it's just Lesnar just destroying the Big Show. I think that's what it should be. Destruction. Orton versus Cena, that match I really don't care about. I've seen it many times. Don't really, not very excited about either guy. And then, you know, one of those guys will go on WrestleMania again, not too excited. But so far in the Royal Rumble, they have announced Batista, CM Punk, Alberto Del Rio, Big E Langston, The Miz, R-Truth, Xavier Woods, Kofi Kingston, who I believe Tazo's picking to win it all. I think Tazo thinks Kofi's taking the Rumble this year and going to go on to headline WrestleMania. Cody Rhodes, Goldust, so there you go. Even though they have a match on the Rumble, they will also be in the Rumble. Rey Mysterio, Booyakai, Booyakai, 619. Booyakai, Booyakai, 619. Fandango will be in the Royal Rumble. Roman Reigns, now I think this is a good time to really showcase Roman Reigns, kind of do like the Diesel thing where he just throws out like 100 guys. Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, so you got all three of the Shield in there. Do the Shield break up at Royal Rumble, or do you heavily tease it and have do the break up at WrestleMania? I think either way it would work. Eric Rowan, Luke Harper, those are big dudes. Damian Sandow, Jimmy Uso, and Jey Uso. Those are another another pair that could possibly take the Royal Rumble. Jey Uso comes out there and wins the Rumble. It could happen. It could happen indeed. Now, what if they had like someone like that, Jey Uso, win the Rumble? Just to fake people out and they lose them. They lose like their title shot. I don't think that happened. All right. So anyone wants to call in, 508-644-8503. Skype in, jacking off. And right now we have old Jim Otto. Damn! Oh, he better ha! Oh, Jim Otto, jam! Oh, how about a hey? Oh, how about a ha? Oh, Jim Otto,
hey, Jack, I'm sorry I tried to call in during the interview.
No problem, Jimmy Jim.
It's because you posted said call in, ask questions.
Well, Leilani Kai, you could have called in, but I couldn't take calls during Ron Simmons. I only had a certain amount of time, and it's no problem, Jimmy Jam. There's no reason to be sorry.
I have a feeling that with the entry number I'm in for the contest, that I think Batista will come out at that number and
really?
Just dominate.
He could. He could just go up there and be a friggin' nation of domination, Batista style. We got just run over here. Now, basically, the Royal Rumble... 30 men out for themselves. There are no friends. Everyone is enemies. So they get in every man for himself, just like that WrestleMania when Demolition Axe and Demolition Smash came out there. They didn't go out there and stand around for 2 minutes shaking hands, which would actually have been the smart thing to do. No, they started pummeling each other. Rah, 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 and they're pounding ass, just like the APA was always pounding ass. Demolition Axe, Demolition Smash. They knew it was every man for himself, and they knew that there was a chance that Axe, if I win this Royal Rumble, I'm going to go main event WrestleMania, Demolition Axe. That would have been money, but it did not happen. But either way, people come out. Now, the Royal Rumble contest here and in your head, and people have copied this since, but we were the originator. We've been doing it for 8 fucking years, so all you assholes out there who steal the idea, you're taking it from me. You're taking it from Jackie Jones, the originator of the Royal Rumble contest. So what we do is people call in throughout the month of January, and back in the day before In Your Head was a global phenomenon, we'd have, you know, people get 2 or 3 numbers because we didn't have 30 different callers. So Wacky, he'd have like, hey guys, I'm Wacky. I've got number 3, 18, and 72. Which, you know, 72, you had no chance of winning Wacky, sorry. But anyway, people call and you get multiple numbers. Not anymore! Now 30 different people are in the Royal Rumble contest. You got a random number. I'd reach deep down into my sack, and I'd pull out a number when you guys would call in, or girls, and that number would correspond, your number corresponds to who comes out. So let's say you're watching the Royal Rumble. Number 18 is your number. You're watching that bad boy, 10-9-8-7-6-5-3-2-1, bam, number 18, and who comes out? It is Return of Sky Too Hot. You're like, hell yeah, man, I'm the worm. I'm gonna take it. Sky Too Hot, he's going to main event WrestleMania 30. It's going to be epic. And bam, he gets thrown it right away, so you lost. But let's say you're number 23, and bam, it counts down, and this machine gun start blasting. He comes out in the skinny jeans, Batista, and he jumps in the ring, and you're like, hell yeah, Batista's going to win it. And you know what? Batista goes, and he wins it! So just like Batista, then he jumps in the car, he jumps in his helicopter, he jumps in his plane, jumps in his tank, and he rides that road to WrestleMania just like you! Just like the winner of the Royal Rumble contest over here at IYDressing.com. You yourself will hop in your own car, in your own plane, in your own motorcycle, and you will head down the road to Hennymania! Because you yourself, what will happen? You won! You'll win! I'll spin the prize wheel, and you might win yourself a button. You might win yourself a t-shirt that I wore back in 1997. I think that far outweighs going to the Showcase of the Immortals and being at WrestleMania. You'd be like, I am wearing the Showcase of the Immortals now. I am wearing this Rikishi t-shirt that Jackie Jones wore in 1999. Exactly. So it'd be good times here on In Your Head. And so just to go over this, number one is Swax. Number two is Jobes. I see Juju B in the chat room. She said, Jack, empty the sack. And she is sad because she wanted me to empty my sack inside of her. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Talk about Juju B. We've got number three is Miss Destiny. Number four is Mike Fink. Number five, Shaheen. Number six is Hot Potato. Number seven, Spexon. Number eight, The Flea. Number nine, Abuse of Power. If there is a power around, he is going to abuse it. Number ten is the man who's watching intently right now, and that is Tazo the Greek. Number 11 is Santo. Not El Santo Loco, but a man actually named Santo. Number 12, oh yeah, she is the sack empty herself, Jujubee. Number 13 is Jimmy Jam's dad. Number 14 is Horror Hound. Hornhound, whatever the fuck. Number 15 is Old Jim out of Jam. He is dancing and he's prancing. He is Jimmy Jam. Number 16, he is the man who is always attacking wrongness, and that is a Bob attacks wrongness. Number 17 is the mighty, mighty Lexar. Number 18, Golgo 13, a man who has been within your head since day one. Golgo 13. Number 19, the In Your Head Hall of Famer. One of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. A living legend in the world of the Headyverse. He is related to the Crockett's, if you did not know, and that is Carol. Number 20, he's a chef. He's gonna fillet some fish. I don't know what the hell he's doing, but he is Austin. Number 21, he is riding the highway. He is the Hoosier Highway. 22 is my number one slave. She is my house slave. That is Yolanda. Number 23 is the man from PWI Magazine. I'm sure he makes that magazine proud when he calls in this very show, and that is Bessler. Number 24 is Robbie Scar, very deranged individual. Number 25 is the man who does the recaps here and In Your Head, a true legend of the Headyverse, and that is Vic Schiavone. Number 26 is the Joseph Anthony. 27 is the douchebag. 28 is a fancy lad, possible homosexual, and that is Dwayne. Number 29 is in the chat room right now, and that is Urius. And number 30, he is the man who he wobbles, but he never falls down. And that is Weeble. That's right. And that was me reading over all the participants in the Royal Rumble contest, or as some may call it, it is Jackie Jones wasting time because he needs to fill time because he's here all by himself. But we do have Jimmy Jam on the show, and he is here to bring the knowledge, as he always does with his very brilliant calls here. Jimmy Jam, what is going on?
I thought Raw was good this week.
There you go. What was good about Raw? You're watching the Raw, Jimmy Jam. And what about it? You're like, hell yeah. This is good.
The return of Batista.
Batista, now did you like the skinny jeans?
No, I like the old muscle-style Batista that's kicking ass, taking names.
Exactly. He, where's the machine guns? See, I like when he comes out and shoots machine guns. Exactly. So, Batista there, is he going to win the Rumble? Is he going to take it all?
And
exactly.
Yes.
There you go. Now, when he was out there on Raw, and he's like, I want that belt! That's mine! I'm coming here to take it! Did you stand up, and you're dancing, and you start shooting the machine guns up in the air? You're like, yes, Batista's taking that belt. He's putting it right around that waist, right below all that beautiful navel tattoo.
Yeah.
Excellent. Do you have a navel tattoo?
No.
I want someone, you know those, do people still get those tattoos across their belly, like, that guy had Samoa, Rey Mysterio's like Mexico. I don't know if people know this, but I have a big Cape Cod tattoo right across my belly, and then I got like a big navel tattoo of like a black hole, and it's, but does anyone still get those? If they do, if someone out there would get an in-your-head belly tattoo, right across their belly, in your head. I will give them eternal gratitude. Forever. I'll be grateful. Forever and a day. Eternal gratitude. Do you have any tattoos there, Jimmy Jam?
No.
Brands? I was thinking, I do have an in-your-head branding iron, and I might start bringing that to conventions, and I will give free brands at the in-your-head booth. Heat that bad boy up, sizzle it right into your ass, and you walk around with a nice in-your-head brand. I bet Tazo would be down for that. Tazo's speaking, but he doesn't have the microphone on, so I cannot hear him. So, what else was going down in on Raw there, Jimmy Jam, that you were loving?
That Daniel Bryan challenged Bray Wyatt to a match at the Royal Rumble.
Oh, yeah. Who's going to win that one?
Daniel Bryan, of course. Yes, 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 yes.
Exactly. Juju B in the chat room says she wants to see my belly. And she wants to see what's below the belly as well. Yeah. You know it. Woo!
Woo! Woo! Oh, you can hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I thought we were going to have a woo off.
I had to interrupt Jimmy Jam's scintillating and interesting and just mind-blowing phone call to ask you if you think Hulk Hogan will be in the Royal Rumble and whether that would be, and I don't mean this in a sarcastic way, would that be bad for business or good for business to just have Hulk Hogan suddenly, you know, be a surprise participant in the Rumble?
I personally would like it, and I actually think it would be good. You have Hulk Hogan come out. People haven't seen him on WWE TV in a long time. And he comes out. The thing is, if you have Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania, it's huge. It's going to be his final match. WrestleMania 30, it's not even like WrestleMania 20 or 29, which is cool too, but it's like it's the 30th one, so you could tell a nice story there. And you know what? He's a guy that really exemplifies the WWF, the WWE, WrestleMania, and also the title. So if he would come out, instead of him just being at WrestleMania and getting a title shot for unknown reasons, if he could actually put out a match of any kind, and he came out and he would win the Royal Rumble, I think it would make people happy. And it would be one last match. You've got all these other matches that are going to be great. Why not? But if he can't do like an actual match, then at WrestleMania, him in a tag team where he's hidden, and he can just come in and throw some big punches and a clothesline and Hulk up. That will be fine, too. But I would like to see Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania in a match. I think him and Cena could actually have a match together. that would be good. Is it going to be mind-blowing? No, but I think that's a guy he could wrestle that neither guy's going to have to take, like, a ton of bumps. They could, you know, just seeing them lock up and doing the shoulder tackles, and it'll be fun. Or a guy that he could tag with and that people would enjoy. I don't know if the Wyatts are necessarily, like, a group. I know that was kind of the rumor was it could be Hogan, Cena, and Daniel Bryan versus the Wyatts. And I don't really think that's, like, nothing against the Wyatts, because I actually do kind of like them and stuff. But I don't think that's really, like, a Hulk Hogan last match that I want to see. Hulk Hogan, you know, punching Luke Harper. I don't know who you put him with. Cena's a guy, I really think. But I would like to see him out there. I wouldn't. I know a lot of. I think the hardcore. I hate this term, the IWC, but I think it's actually fitting here because I do think that the IWC fans would really hate it if Hogan came out and won the Rumble. But I think a lot of, you know, the normal fans who just watch and don't go online to read wrestling news would enjoy it. Older fans would hear about it and they would enjoy it. I think it would be a nice moment. I dig it. What do you think, Jimmy James, Hulk Hogan?
I heard that Hulk Hogan might be hosting WrestleMania this year.
Hosting WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You see, if this was back in the day, and I'm not saying this is good or bad, but back in the day, if Hulk Hogan, he would be in there. He'd go out there and there wouldn't be any physicals, there wouldn't be any medical exams. He'd go out there and he'd do what he needed to do to have one last match and to drop the leg. With that, he might take a cortisone shot. I don't know. He'd do whatever it took to have one last match, one last time to shine out there, and it would be fun. But nowadays, things are different. They have to take all these impact tests to make sure that, you know, they're not going to get a concussion, that their body can hold up in the match. And I guess that's good for the people's health, but it's not necessarily good for me as a fan. Go out there and cripple yourself for me, is what I'm saying. Yeah. All right, so I have some questions here over on the Facebook page I'm going to ask myself and answer myself. But if you guys want to call in, it's 508-644-8503, or you can Skype in Jack and off. Joseph wants to know, what are the worst gimmicks? Wow. Well, there is a website dedicated to that called WrestleCrap. But some of the worst gimmicks that I've ever seen, man, that was probably one I should think about. But does anything pop in your mind, Jimmy Jam? Is this the worst gimmick you've ever seen in wrestling?
I would say the worst gimmick was didn't last that long was the Dr. Isaac Yankum DDS gimmick which is now Kane.
That's pretty bad. You know, I'm gonna say this. I actually enjoyed that. I got a kick out of that gimmick. In wrestling or anything in any type of art or whatever, it's either gotta be. I love great wrestling that's very dramatic and I can get into, but I also love cheesy goofball wrestling that is like so bad that it's fun. And I think Isaac Yankum was the one that I enjoyed in that aspect. I don't like wrestling that's just bad or doesn't capture me in any way. And that's a lot of the guys now will come out and they'll just wear tights and they'll be like a guy. Like this is, you know, Phil McGee. And that doesn't do it for me. But if a guy has this horrible gimmick and it's so bad that it makes me laugh, then I'm behind that. That is Mike Bessler. We can hear him breathing and typing. But the I was thinking Beaver Cleavage. That was a really bad gimmick. I was not a particularly fan of Beaver Cleavage.
Well, the other one I thought was worse was the fake Razor Ramon.
Fake
Razor, because
that's actually a good one, Jimmy Jam. Fake Razor, fake Diesel, because they're established guys, they're icons of the time, they're people's favorites, and then you bring in fake ones, which just brings attention to the fact that those guys are now in WCW, and it makes you really just seem like Bush League, that you're going to bring in two, you know, fake guys to that are now taking over this gimmick. Yeah, that is bad. That was bad. It was a failed experiment. And it was a good thing that didn't take off, because just think, if that would have worked, you could just do that with anyone. You'd be like, well, you know what, John Cena? We don't want to pay you anymore. We're getting rid of you, and now, you know, Alex Riley is now John Cena. He is the new, there's just a new guy playing John Cena, and now it's Alex Riley. I mean, you could just do that with anybody. It would just, The Undertaker, you're getting old, we're going to take you out back, and we're going to put a bullet in the back of your head, and the new Undertaker is now Wade Barrett. That would be bad. All of a sudden, the Undertaker talks with a British accent and tells everybody bad news. But let's see here. Sandman says, Outback Jack was one of the worst gimmicks ever. Time a crocodile down, me sport. Time a crocodile down. I don't necessarily think Outback Jack was a bad gimmick. I just think the guy was a pitiful wrestler. And a little known fact, the original logo for In Your Head was Outback Jack wearing I Love IYH t-shirt, which I created with my amazing Photoshop skills. I always have a soft spot for Outback Jack. And it wasn't my, it was, you know what, we've had Diesel, you know, we've had Kevin Nash on the show, and Scott Hall, and Mick Foley, and Bobby Heenan, some Goldberg, some like, Shawn Michaels, these huge names, and some of those are really big to me, like having Mick Foley in the show and stuff, but having a guy that I grew up watching, Outback Jack on the show, that kind of stuff, that, people might think that sounds stupid, but I enjoy having Outback Jack type guy on the show as much or more than having Kevin Nash on the show in its own way. I like that. T.L. Hopper. That was a bad one. That was a very bad gimmick. T.L. Hopper. Toilet Lid Hopper. Barry Windham as the Stalker. Yeah, that was terrible. Barry Windham was one of the best in-ring performers of his era. And they brought him in as a Stalker. Well, first they brought him in as... actually, by the time he's a Stalker, he's kind of washed up. But originally they brought him in as the Widowmaker, which is just odd. I don't think Barry Windham has ever really fit into the WWE. I'm not sure why. He fit in with NWA and WCW, but anytime they tried to bring him into WWE, it just never worked. When he's the Widowmaker, when he was the Stalker, when he's part of the New Blackjacks, and I think it's because they take Barry Windham and they try to fit him in these gimmicks. And he's not really like a gimmick guy. He's just Barry Windham. Jujubee actually says that's how she first found In Your Head, was throughout Outback Jack. So it's nice that Jujubee actually remembers her first time with me, because there has been many. let's see here. Who else we got? Tazo says he loves Blackjack Mulligan Jr. He was a big fan of the New Blackjacks. Has there ever been a new anything that really took off? Like, you know, the New Blackjacks, that was actually a flop. The New Midnight Express. It was funny when they were talking about the best tag teams of all time on WWE.com a few months ago, and they had the Midnight Express listed there, and they actually said Bodacious Bob and whoever the other guy was.
Bart,
yeah. What was his name, though? Bodacious Bob, and what was he? He's like something Bart. Badass Bart? I don't know, but that's just bad. I mean, if anyone would think of Midnight Express and think of Bob Holly and Bart Gunn, that is sad times. That is not good times. That is sad times. Who else was bad? Oh, the Ding Dongs. You know, people really think of WWE as the place that all the bad gimmicks, but there is a lot of bad ones in WCW too. The Ding Dongs, the Dog. That might be one of my least favorite guys ever, was the Dog. And I love Kevin Sullivan, but it was like, who was that guy? Something Green, and it was just like this job dude. and he was the dog, and he wore like a mat, he wore like a hood over his head, and he came out like on a leash, and he's now the dog. That was god awful. That times. The dog. Sandman, I like the promos about Bat Jack, but the gimmick imploded once he showed up. Again, to me, really, I think it wasn't necessarily the gimmick. It's just the guy was bad. He's not a good wrestler. He wasn't even trained, apparently, in his interview with us. Beetlejuice, that's a good one by Tazo. And then I remember he became the Juicer, which who I liked. I liked the Juicer, but it's just so bizarre. Because he'd come out and he'd have like baby powder in his hair. And apparently he's supposed to be Beetlejuice. PN News, I have a soft spot for PN News. I've been trying to get him on the show. He's a Facebook friend of mine. But PN News, yeah. I like PN News. Was it necessarily good? No, but yeah. And if you watch... I think he had a pay-per-view match versus Axel Rotten, a pre-ECW Axel Rotten, where Axel Rotten looks like he's about 12. But I still remember, it was like, what was it? It was like Battle Bowl rap? When PN News, the one PN News did. I heard an interview recently with someone, and I think it might have been Axel Rotten, and he was talking about PN News, and apparently PN News didn't even know raps were supposed to rhyme. They had to tell him. Tazo said he loved the Red Rooster. He's a big fan. I never got what that was supposed to be. Why would there be a guy that is a rooster? Why is there a guy that's a chicken, the wrestling chicken? Like, who is that supposed to appeal to? Who would be like, hell yeah, I love this guy who is a chicken? The human chicken. He'd come out and he'd have his hair like up and like a. He was like the predecessor of the faux hawk. And he'd come out there and he was red and he'd buck. He'd like cook doo 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 and he'd bucking like a chicken and prancing around. I didn't get it. Juju B says that was not baby powder. That was coke. Coke in the juicer's hair. That could very well be. Coke in the hair. Let's see here. Any other? The Cole Twins? Not necessarily think that's a bad gimmick. Again, I think it's just bad wrestlers. I mean, they're twins. That's the gimmick. But, yeah, they weren't particular. Dynamic Dudes. That's one that was very bad. Two guys looked very gay coming out on skateboards that neither one could ride.
Shane Douglas and Johnny Ace.
Yes, and Johnny Ace was like 6'10", but yet they had him wrestling like he was like one of the Rock and Roll Express or something. He's throwing drop kicks, but he wasn't very good at it. Not good. Man Mountain Rock. For Pete Longtime listeners, people know that I'm a huge fan of Man Mountain Rock. So, yeah, I like that gimmick. No, I didn't like that gimmick, but I like that guy. I really liked him when he was in the WCW. That's one of my favorite interviews over on the website. Scotty Goldman, yeah, it's bad. It's bad. A Man Mountain Rock guitar was awesome. They were selling that on eBay not too long ago, and I tried to buy it, but I was upbid. I think they had a very high... price on it. I offered them, I think, $500, but they would not take it. Yeah, Max Payne was great. I liked Max Payne. I liked it when he shot Johnny B. Badd with the Badd blaster right in the face. You ever take a shot in the face, Jamie Jam?
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you have. Let's see here. That's about it. Scotty Goldman, yeah, where he said that one. So anyway, if you guys think of some really bad gimmicks, post them here. How about bad gimmicks that have called into the show? There was, I'm trying to think of one. When we had the Cuban Assassin on the show, and he actually had people calling in as like these Americans who hated like foreigners. And that was pretty funny.
American males? Star Reigns and Buff
American Males, American Males, American Males, American Males.
I like that. That's a good theme song. Alright, well, I'm going to go to break here, and I'm going to come back. I'll take some calls, 508-644-8503, Skype in Jacking Off, and then I will wrap up the show, and it will be good times. But in the meantime, I'm going to play, I might play some Terry Funk. That's right, Terry Funk. He is one of my most favorite wrestlers of all time, one of my favorite guests of all time, and you know what? He is an excellent musician. So let's hear some Roppongi here from Terry Funk, and we shall return.
My bill full. I just
And we are back once again. I hate to cut off that epic song, but if you guys want to listen to that, I believe it is up on iTunes, and you can download it for like $20. Or you can, I think, you know what? I'm going to lift the fee. I'm going to lift the fee on the tag team tourney, the journey to the tourney, and you can download it for free. That's right, for totally free off the Podomatic page, off iTunes. You know what? We don't talk about iTunes enough. I always talk about the Podomatic. So join us on iTunes. You subscribe to In Your Head on iTunes. You can rate us and comment and help us get our standings up on the iTunes page, because we've got to start taking over the world, is what I'm saying. Take world domination. Yes. All right, speaking of world domination, we've got someone on the show here who I'm dominating all the time. We got Jujubee.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
You don't sound too good.
Why?
I don't know. You sound kind of down in the dumps.
No, it's late. I'm kind of tired.
All right. So you want to, I got a bed right over here if you want to hop on in.
I don't know. I'll think about it.
She is tongue-tied now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, the idea popped in her head and she does not know what to say. So what is...
He caught me off guard, but okay.
All right. Well, so what is on your mind there, Juju, in the world of professional wrestling?
Well, you were talking about earlier, like, you know, how all the new, you know, the new versions of tag teams and stuff, mm-hmm. they always suck,
right.
you know? So there's a rumor going around that, you know, they've been teasing the Shield breakup. I think the rumor is that they're going to do it in, you know, during the Royal Rumble. And then I guess that there's a, you know, idea that they're going to have the new Shield or Shield 2.0 and replace Roman Reigns.
Well, you can't have a new that you can't reboot something that's been around a year. That would
I
be really
know
lame.
That's what they're with, and they're going to replace him with Mason Ryan.
I don't mind the idea of a replacement for him in the Shield, because it'd still just be the Shield. It'd be like the new member of the Shield, like when they have new members of the Horsemen. Instead of just like if they would just have all new guys and this is the new Shield, that would be horrendous. But I don't really mind the idea. But do you think that the two remaining members, do you think they look like goobers? Do you think they look like, you know, numbskulls if one guy leaves the Shield and they keep the group alive?
Yeah, I think if they're going to break it up, you know, even just, you know, keep, if they're going to, you know, have Roman Reigns be on his own and they don't want to have Rollins and Ambrose on their own yet, then just keep them as a tag team. I don't think they should.
They need a new member?
Yeah, that would be awful. Plus, Mason Ryan, he's awful.
He's big. They like the big men.
I know, and it's what I've heard. It's Vince's idea. It's his idea. So you know,
I like a big kick-ass guy too. I haven't seen him for a while. Has he improved though? I don't watch NXT. Is he? Do you keep up with NXT?
I don't really keep up with NXT. Like I know that he was awful at FCW, and then when they had you know, when he was on the main roster, obviously they didn't keep him on the main roster. Mm-hmm. So
does he still look just like Batista? Because that would be weird. They bring him up and they've got.
Batista. He has, from last time I seen him, he has long hair. So he let his hair grow out. So I don't know. I never liked him. So mm-hmm. I think he sucks.
Is there anybody you would like to see? You know, you're kind of like me. Just keep the group. But if you were going to bring in another member, who would it be?
I don't know.
Bo Dallas?
Know. No way. He's awful, too. He has a feminine-looking face.
Uh-huh.
He looks like a girl.
That doesn't do it for you. You like a manly man.
You said I like metrosexuals last week.
I did. Oh, well, you do, because you like Maddox. And,
yeah, but he's not like feminine looking. He might be like pretty. There's a difference
a
between
boy.
Feminine and pretty.
Fandango is a manly looking man. I mean, he does the dance and stuff, but Maddox, he's definitely a fancy lad.
Yeah, but he's not feminine.
He's a pretty boy. I see. Where does Jackie Jones fit in this? I mean, I think that guy's pretty manly.
Out of what?
I mean, on this in this scale, like you're liking these pretty boys and effeminate men, and where does Jackie Jones fit in there? How would you classify Jackie Jones?
I'd say you're my number two.
Well, what?
You're my number two.
Oh, number. I wasn't even saying rating, but I mean, do you put me in the pretty boy category, or what category would you put me in?
No, you're a manly man.
All right.
You're not a pretty boy, but you're my number two.
Oh, very good. I'm going in the number two. So.
Yeah.
Anything else in the world of wrestling? I want to thank you for calling in, by the way. You're a good caller. I always enjoy talking to you.
I enjoy talking to you, too. I think that's it.
Mm.
That's all I had on my mind. You know, you kind of got me off guard again, so I don't know.
That's what I'm doing, Pete. You think I'm going right or left? Just when you know the answers, I'm changing the questions there, Mr. That's what Piper used to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to have Roddy Piper is the only wrestler I ever had a poster of him on the wall. And it was an old Piper shirt, old Piper poster, and he didn't even have the Hot Rod shirt yet. He had that old Black Panther shirt.
Yeah, that I like that shirt.
I did too. And when they started doing the touts, the WWE touts, to make it even stupider, when I was trying to send in the touts and get on Raw, I put up some pictures from an old calendar. I stuck them to my wall, and it's like Iron Sheik, and I just stuck them in the corner of my room, and I stood in front of those when I would do the I want the wrestling touts, and but they're still there. I kind of look over and think I should take those down. Pretty dumb.
I never had any wrestlers on my walls.
Really?
Except for now I do because I got those paintings.
Yeah. You have paintings?
Yeah, I got the Brad Maddox painting and I have a Fondo painting.
Really?
Yeah.
Now who did these paintings?
That Rob Schamberger.
Who?
That guy, like,
the guy from Ring of Honor, the cheeseburger?
Oh, my gosh.
Ron Hamburger?
Ron Schamberger.
Oh. That's not the guy who does that painting that was at the Fan Fest, where it's got, like, Vince is, like, the icon art, where Vince is, like, the devil, and, like, everyone...
No. No. This is just regular paintings.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to look these up. Do you have them on your Facebook page?
He was featured on WWE.com one time.
Oh,
like,
really?
Ron
Schamberg.
Rob.
Rob.
R-O-B.
All right. Schamberg. S-H-A-M-B-U-R-G.
E-R.
E-R-G.
Burger.
Oh, Burger.
Schamberger.
All right. Rob Schamberger.
There you go.
He did this one recently where it was like the Heyman guys as the Four Horsemen.
Right. So, yeah, that was it.
That was done well, but it was odd because I didn't know why the Warrior was there.
That had to have been like a custom.
Right.
See? Like you can ask him to do anything.
So
did you
contact him and ask him to paint you Maddox, or did he actually paint him on his own?
No, I asked for it.
Alright.
And then I asked for the Fandango, too.
Mm. Now, are they getting it on, or are they two separate paintings?
It's two separate paintings. The Brad Maddox is a watercolor, and then the Fandango is oil.
Alright, that's very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
I'm gonna see if he will do me a Jackie Jones painting. Would that be like egotistical if I paint him to paint me and put it up on my wall? Or put it up on my ceiling over my bed?
No, if you want to look at yourself like that, then go ahead.
Yeah, of course I do.
Why don't you get like a big one of those fat heads of yourself and you put on the wall?
Are you just call me a fat head?
No, those like big stickers you can stick on your wall.
Oh, I see. I know what you're saying. This is, in all honesty, on the side of my bed, I do have mint on card WWF Galoob action figures.
That's awesome.
Yes, it's very awesome. I believe that is the term used for when a 38-year-old man has action figures on the wall. Awesome.
Who are you going to leave those to? If something happens.
What are
you
saying? Now you're trying to get me killed.
I'm just saying, who would you want to have them?
Are you trying to get onto my action figures? Is that what this deal is about?
I'm just asking.
Do you want the Dusty Rhodes in polka dot mint on card? That's a rare figure.
Why is it rare?
Because they didn't make many of them. That one is.
Why not?
I don't know. You have to ask the company. I don't know, but it's hard to get. It's worth lots of pesos. At least it used to be.
If it's in the box still.
Yes, these are all in the on the card. We've got this is legit. Okay. I'll read them off. These are who's on my wall. Hulk Hogan, Bret Hart, Razor Ramon, Scott Steiner. I'm not sure which, maybe Fatu or one of the Samoans. IRS, the Mountie, Coco Beware, Ricky Dragon Steamboat, Papa Shango, Shawn Michaels, Mr. Perfect, Greg Valentine, Undertaker, Ultimate Warrior, the Texas Tornado, British Bulldog, Yokozuna, Bam Bam Bigelow, the Repo Man, Tito Santana, Big Boss Man, Lex Luger, and Dusty Rhodes and Polka Dots.
Is that the entire collection of those?
No, there's many more of those.
Oh.
Many, many more. Mm. Just the ones I happen to have still in the packages.
You should have got the whole collection.
There's like a million of them.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There's tons of those. There's like pretty much everyone that's ever been in the company at the time. Then I started to collect the, because I used to collect figures, and I just got so many, I stopped collecting them. But when they started doing the Legends figures, then I started buying those, because those are pretty sweet.
Do you have the big rubber Outback Jack list?
I do not. I do have a lot of those big rubber ones, though.
Those were awful. Why did they make those?
Yeah, they sucked, because they were unplayable. Like, it was cool because I was a kid and there was wrestling figures and I loved wrestling, but you what do you do with this big hunk of solid rubber?
Yeah,
it's like you couldn't do shit. Oh. Like you'd have to try to do moves like kind of because Piper was like he had one arm like flexing kind of one arm out, so it's like well you can drop an elbow and maybe you can do a suplex, but like you really couldn't do much with them. Many wrestling toys were not made to play with. Like, they're not made well to play with. Actually, right. At that time, the best ones probably were the AWA ones by Remco.
Mm.
They were made just like He-Man figures.
And they had those little ones you put on your thumbs, too?
Yeah, those, yeah, thumb wrestlers. I just put them on the end of my penis.
Nice.
Would that now as a woman, as a female wrestling fan, would that excite you if I had like the Junkyard Dog thumb wrestler on the end of my penis?
I think it would.
Really? We just lost the other caller when I said Junkyard Dog on the end of my penis, he hung up. But
who was it?
Chris. I'm not sure. Chris.
Nice.
Uh-huh. But yeah, it'd be like grab them cates. You're gonna feel it.
Yep.
Headbutt. There's all kinds of many possibilities.
Yeah, that's like super hot.
Yeah, all right, I will remember that. I'm going to go find my thumb wrestlers now and clean them up and be good to go.
Mm-hmm.
Any particular wrestler? I know I had the JYD. There wasn't
I don't remember who they had of those little.
Maybe
those
Big John Studd.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I still have my Randy set.
Uh-huh. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, very interesting. All right, well, Jujubee, they also have the Bendies. Bendy figures. Did you collect wrestling figures as a youth?
Did I?
Yeah.
No, I used to hang out with my cousin. Like, he was almost like my brother because I'd be over there all the time. So he had all of them. He had all those solid rubber ones. And I think he had all, like, every single one.
Mm-hmm. Now, were you, you know, because you were a girl, just like you are now, did you, were you into Barbies or My Little Ponies or anything like that?
No, I liked more of, like, gender-neutral toys, like Legos and, like, Play-Doh, stuff like that. I never really liked dolls.
I gotcha. So you didn't want to do you didn't want to be like a tomboy, but at the same time you weren't like trying to be the girly girl. I see.
Right.
Gender neutral.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't think wrestling and Lego has ever combined.
Yeah, I wonder why. Because Lego has like everything. They like, you know, with Batman and Star Wars and stuff. I wonder why they never did do the wrestling thing yet.
I don't know. Like, you could build the ring. You could build the cage, elimination. You could build a lot of stuff. You could build an arena.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
It would be.
Watch them do that now, because you know people listen to you.
Yeah, they'd be stealing my ideas. I don't like to pat myself on the back and, you know, put over how amazing I am and everything. But earlier, when we were off air with, when I was off air with Leilani Kai, she said that she always hears so much about In Your Head. That's why she wanted to come on at the Fan Fest. And whenever she was looking what shows to do, that other people in the business told her to come on the show and to contact me. So I was like, that's very cool.
Yeah,
it's
awesome.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, thank anybody out there who puts me over. And, you know, thank everyone here that listens to the show as well. And Kid Tazo, but I know he represents In Your Head. He wears the In Your Head shirt when he's going out and seeing the wrestling. He's a good man. I appreciate that. And he helps out with the chat room, the message board. And he's a good dude.
What about me with the In Your Head sign where I go to the live event?
I've never seen it. Just say you do. Huh? I appreciate it, Jimmy Jam. I want you to, and when you're walking down the streets, I want you to hold up a big In Your Head sign. I see it when you're dancing. I see how you're dancing in your room. You're jumping up and you're all excited. You should do that with an In Your Head sign. Just be walking down, you going down to the 7-Eleven to get yourself a Slim Jim. Just go in there with a big In Your Head sign. Like, I want a Slim Jim and a Mountain Dew. And then you go, In Your Head! And start freaking going crazy.
He's not allowed out of the house.
Are you allowed out of the house, Jimmy Jim?
Yes, I am.
Let's see. He's there with his girlfriend right now.
Oh.
They're going to be getting it on.
Ooh. Make sure you put it on mute.
What's your girlfriend's name, Jimmy Jam?
Jenny.
Jenny Jam. Jimmy and Jenny Jam. Jams. I love it. Is she a wrestling fan?
Sometimes.
What does that mean? Who's your favorite?
The Rock.
The Rock. She smells what The Rock is cooking. Exactly. All right, let's see here. We've got a Hot Potato is on the line. Well, Jujubee, thank you for calling in. You're a wonderful woman.
You're
a great person. And it's always nice talking to you.
All right. Good night.
Good night. We've got a hot potato on the line.
Hey,
one potato, two potato, three potato, four, five potato, six potato, seven potato more.
So, I thought Batista's return was just completely lackluster. What about you?
Like, I agree totally. He just came out there with the skinny jeans, and he cut this promo with no passion. He's like, I want that belt. I'm back.
That's everybody's story right now. They're like, I want that belt. My belt.
Which I like the idea of everyone wanting the belt, because that's, you know, that should be the ultimate goal.
How
but
unorderly
should be,
it is.
It should be like, I fucking want that belt. Like,
it should be I want the belt, but there should be, you know, number one contenders matches and things like that.
Yeah, it shouldn't just be I want the belt, so okay, well now you get a shot at it, because you want it. Because obviously no one else wants it. Everyone should want it. That should be the goal.
Yeah.
Steve Austin always said, if you're not here to be number one and win the belt, why are you here? So everyone on the roster, from Jey Uso to Kofi Kingston to Justin Gabriel, all the way up to Batista and everybody on the roster, Funkasaurus, they should all want the belt.
I'm not sure if we should blame that all on the writers and stuff. I think it's just not the same mentality with the wrestlers anymore.
That's very, you know, there's a lot of talks lately about, like, Wrestling with Shadows and the Montreal Screwjob, and a lot of people nowadays talk about, like, you know, Hitman was, like, this big mark for himself, took all seriously, but I think that was the mentality back then. Like, everyone wanted to be the best, not just their character wants to go for a title, whatever. They wanted to be the champion. They wanted to be the best guy. There was pride, and they did take it seriously. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think I think wrestling would be a lot better if guys really did take it seriously now and did really want to be the best guy on the show and not just be part of the show.
Yeah.
And I don't think Hitman would have ever got to the levels. If he had the attitude where, I'm just happy to be here, and I'm just going to fit in, and I'm going to do whatever they tell me, and, you know, I'll make a living, I'll be a guy on the show. I don't think he would have ever taken off. He would have never been Hitman. He never would have been this top guy. He got there because he really wanted to be.
If you look at Punk, I mean, the reason his character is so good is because he fights for it. He doesn't just take what they hand him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the guys that have really taken off in the last 2 years are guys like that that really go out, you know, really want it.
Yeah. So what do you think about Fandango getting a shot anytime soon for the big belt?
I think as Fandango, it's kind of a flop. And
yeah.
I think a lot of it is
maybe if
because he got that concussion and he was getting like the a push, and then he got a concussion and just stopped. I actually think he's very talented. He's a good wrestler. He has a lot of charisma. He's a great look. I think the Fandango character can only go so far. I think he'd be better off just dropping that gimmick and just being, you know, you can keep the Fandango name or be Phil Fandango, whatever. But I think just dropping that he's just this dancer. It's very
he'll probably drop it with like a heel turn.
Yeah, I think he'd be better off, because I do see a lot of talent there.
Yeah,
but
then again, I felt the same way about Ziggler and Swagger whenever they were getting their pushes, and WWE just wishes they could make us not remember those.
Yeah, I never really saw a lot in Swagger. Like that's a guy they really did try a lot, but it's I don't think he's ever really connected with anybody.
They wanted Swagger to be what Sheamus is.
It's like just
the big wrestler guy.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really see a lot of he's talent. I don't think he sucks or anything, but I don't think he has what it takes to be a top guy.
He's a tag team champion.
Mm-hmm. Cesaro's a guy that's got more going for him, in my opinion.
Yeah, I just don't like his gimmick though.
I like the big wiggle. I do like the big wiggle, but I love the big swing. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. Well, that's I'm going to head off now.
All right. Well, I appreciate you calling in here.
Appreciate talking to you.
And I love the potato as well.
See ya.
See you. If you, people don't know, he's just this amazing photo of a little kitten just hugging a potato and says, I love the potato. I appreciate that. It's very cool. All right. Well, I'm going to take off. I do want to appreciate and thank everyone who called in tonight. I want to thank Ron Simmons. I want to thank Leilani Kai. I want to thank everyone here in the chat room, American Splendor, Bessler, Bodacious Body Man of the Beautiful People, whatever his name is, Boxman Carol, woo! Danny Corey, The Duck Man, Hoosier Highway, Old Mortal Germ, oh, here but a ha! Here but a he, ha, ha, ha! Juju B, putting on my JYD a little bit later here. Kevin the Riddler, The Lurker, Matt, Sandman, Swax, Ultimate Beef, Urius, Tazo the Greek, and everyone who was in and out throughout the night in the chat room. El Santo Loco, Santo! All you good people. Jimmy Jam's girlfriend, Jenny Jam. Jimmy Jam's dad. Johnny Jam, I want to thank everybody here at In Your Head, and I do want to reiterate that if you listen to this show live, if you listen to it on podcast, however you listen to it, if you listen to it live, come over to iywaytrusting.com and join the chat room during the live show. It's a lot of fun. You can also join the chat room during Raw, during pay-per-views, during SmackDown, and also during Impacts. It's a lot of fun. Also, during the week, you can go over and join the Facebook page, facebook.com/group/IYHWrestling, and you can interact with all the cool people in the Headyverse. It is a lot of fun. Leave comments about the show, questions for the guests, but besides all that, you can just talk about wrestling and all the random stuff that goes down. It's not just a podcast. It is a community, and we'd like to include everyone, and if you're a fan of horror movies at all, you can also check me out over on withoutyourhead.com, and you can also check out the Facebook page there, and that is facebook.com/group/withoutyourhead. Might be Without Your Head Horror, actually, but either way, find Without Your Head and check that out. I do that every other Thursday at 9. Next week, we'll have a live show, and you can check out all the free archives. It is good times and lots of videos, so subscribe over on YouTube/JackIYH if you'd like to check out wrestling videos and cooking with Jack and drinking with Jack, which both will be making a comeback. And if you're into the horror movie stuff, or you can check out my video series, Dinner to Movie, with myself and Annabelle Lecter, and we review horror movies in the Boston area. And you can check out videos from horror movie conventions and whatnot over on youtube.com/withoutyourhead. So please subscribe to both of those channels. It is it's a good time. So coming up here on In Your Head, we will be having Harry Smith, the son of the British Bulldog. He'll be on the show very soon. And we will also have the protege of of Leilani Kai. The protege of Leilani Kai will be on the show as well. That'd be very cool. And we will also be after reschedule Mr. George South and Baby Doll for their appearance, which we were gonna have before Christmas, but things didn't work out. So it's a good times here. Royal Rumble's coming up. Always one of my favorites, or possibly my favorite pay-per-view, just through the Royal Rumble itself. And if it's really a lot of fun if you come to the chat room during the pay-per-view, especially Royal Rumble. So come over to iywaytrusting.com, join the chat room during the Royal Rumble, and you can have a good time with everybody involved. And perhaps you will have a post-show, I don't know yet, but it is good stuff. So, until next time, this is Jackie Jones, and thank you, and we will talk to you soon. Oh, man! Oh, man!
Give me the hammer, the hammer. Yeah.